I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following episode of the BTW podcast contains language not suitable for young children. It also contains a lot of random bullshit not related to PvP. So with that being said, enjoy this episode of Pokemon Go Radio. Wait, I mean the BTW podcast. God.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954, and Dino is on vacation this week. So I decided to reach out to two people that I look up to in this industry with the Pokemon Go and podcasting, and they've helped this podcast out tremendously and was like, hey, you guys want to jump in and co-host with me? And they were like all about it. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Real talk.
Well,
Chris,
hey, everybody.
How tall are you?
What's going on?
Me? I'm only like 5'6".
Okay. Well, we're not very tall either, but I just wanted to say when you look up, you know, just like,
if you're weirdly like, I'm tall, 6'3".
Yeah. Just make it, you could lie. You're sitting down every episode.
Yeah.
Hey, true. Everybody, what's going on? My name is Gnar and I'm on the Beginner to Winner podcast specifically to hear from the PvP experts, Salt and AstroZombie, so that I can get good. That's my overall goal. So if you're hearing this, in a second, Salt's going to introduce himself. But no matter what I say after this, it's because I got embarrassed and I was afraid to admit how shitty I am at PvP.
That's true. My name's Salt and I punch puppies. So that's what I do.
That sounds about right.
That's it. No, my name is Gnar. Unlike my brother, I'm already good at PvP. That's not true. That's why I value this podcast. I'm so glad to be on it with you. It's so great to have a consistent, you know, like we were talking before we started recording, 16 episodes in and getting all that PvP goodness. I feel like I've learned like a lot from your show, and it's really nice to just be here, be on it, and hopefully get good. I definitely will need to get some luck. So hopefully we can do some of that with you. So appreciate it. Stay on vacation forever. We got this. We got this.
He's the PvP expert.
Is he at least going on an awesome vacation?
Yeah, he's in Universal.
So you've been, haven't you, Salt?
Yeah, and it's amazing Pokemon playing.
Mm, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're only 2.5 hours.
Oh yeah, you guys are right there.
Yeah.
Florida man.
Don't tell Papa. She freaking loves Disney so much.
Yeah. It's awesome. It gets pricey, but you know, when you drive up and can drive back the same day,
that is pretty handy.
Yeah, it works out. So, how you guys doing this week? You had a good week?
I was laughing. My It's been a really good week. This is our third podcast day in a row, right? We did a D&D bonus episode because we're that kind of nerdy, you know? Did one of those.
Yeah.
Just record that every now and then. We do a little off-topic nonsense. Then we recorded the regular show yesterday, and now we're here with you. So I feel like me and this microphone, I was rubbing my beard on it earlier. Like, we're really getting acquainted.
Yeah, I'm really tired of hanging out with Gnar, so thank God that you're here. If I had to hear Gnar describe his week one more time. But I mean, it's been good. I just really like, especially when we get to talk different things. Obviously, we're going to talk Pokemon Go again today, but with a different and more specific focus. It's a little bit cool when you just get to sit down and like shoot the breeze.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. So we're going to do things a little different. We're still going to keep the same format that everyone's kind of used to, but I wanted to, you know, get into other things that maybe aren't Pokemon Go related. You know, you guys are fellow nerds. We have a lot of the same interests just from listening to you guys, your podcast. Like,
Chris, what's the weirdest thing you're the most into? Like, if we drew a nexus between the thing you're into and the nerdiest thing, what is it the highest peak?
The highest peak. Like, my most nerdiest thing that
like,
I do.
Like, I'm kind of into Star Wars, but that's not really that nerdy. That's kind of mainstream, you know? So it's like...
Well, it is now.
But, like, if you're super into, like, Civil War reenactment, for example, that'd be pretty high on both those spectrums.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, we would end this podcast immediately. Well, maybe we'd ask you what side you fought for, and then we'd probably see where we go from there.
I think the nerdiest thing I do is I have, like, really bad OCD when it comes to, like, organizing my clothes. So all of my shirts, even though they're all black, they're all like broken down into genres.
Different shades of black. So metal.
So like
faded black.
Most of them
slightly less black, midnight black. My soul.
Most of them are band t-shirts. So like I put all my like metal band t-shirts together, like all of my.
They're just organized by the amount of flames on them.
Yes, or skulls, or pentagrams, yeah, nice. Depending on Excellent. Which band it is.
But this is appropriate. It's not like that Ed Hardy poser crap. This is like
actual metal.
It's actual metal.
Yes, this is, yes, actual.
Respect it.
Awful and music, I have one of those little like folding shirt folder.
You things. Have, do you say you have one of those?
Yes, I do. Well, I used to be a manager of Hot Topic, and
that track
was
okay, first actually, of all, yeah, checks. Everything about that makes sense. It's like
it
one of those things I
gave to myself.
That's incredible. So, I feel like we definitely need to talk PvP and Pokemon Go in general, but I do have like a million Hot Topic questions.
Nice. Nice. We'll just get into those. So
weird kids come up in there.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get the show started and jump into the Sylph Arena.
Okay. In general, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Just starting off with the Prismatic Cup as an example, but how do you feel about the non-type specific shift that the meta has gone for the past Sylph Cups? I mean, obviously we have all the way back to, you know, the Timeless Cup and some other ones like that, but it seems like this is the new norm where we find a weird reason to use an amalgamation of types. In my opinion, it makes for a much more open meta as opposed to your standard rock, paper, scissors kind of closed meta for some of the, especially the season one league of the Sylph Rings. What do you think about that as a device for shaping and controlling the meta?
I feel like they've Sylph's done a really good job of this season making it very open. Like every cup so far this year has been almost like an open meta. It's very GBL like. And I think what they're doing with that is they want to blend, cause you got to think like back, what, season one, season two of GBL, you were either Sylph or you were GBL.
Yep.
Like it was, we play Sylph and then we do GBL to get Stardust. And over the past, what, two seasons, it's started to flip. More people are like, yo, we do GBL and we do, you know, Sylph to balance us out or, you know, for the fun of it. So I think what they did is I think they've noticed that and they want to blend that. And I'm pretty sure that they're a little salty from not getting that for them going with, what was it, Mayhem that they signed with instead of trying to collaborate with Sylph.
Yeah, I I didn't like that. I mean, it seemed like these people were the obvious. They've been putting the time in since back in the Boulder Cup. Like, obviously, you know, maybe it's just the bias experience because these are the ones that I participated in, but this is PvP. Like, when I think of PvP, I think about GBL, but I also think about Sylph, like, as the where the players play. Like, that's the top shelf stuff with the tournaments they've hosted.
I was going to say, it's pretty obvious. I mean, like, either one of you guys, let's say I could make you the highest win percentage on GBL right now, or you could win, like, one of the massive open Sylph regionals.
I don't climb that tower.
Exactly. Like, you win the battle tower.
Yeah, I'm going battle tower. 100%.
That would be prestigious.
I mean, just look at the success that Speedy's Chief has had. And he didn't get that from GBL. Like, he streams GBL, but he got it from Sylph.
Exactly.
That's where he got it.
People will show up to watch, like, the day in and day out on GBL, but that's not the kingmakers. That's not the thing that's going to take you from just some random player, but you win one tournament, and granted, it's a huge tournament, but you win that tournament, and then all of a sudden, you could not even be a content creator, and overnight, you have a following.
Yeah. I think with the cadence of it's nice, but it is also, like, rarely do I watch people stream GBL, but when I do, like, it's nice because it's easy to access, and it's also, like, I could get in there and do this right now. Like, there's no signups or anything like that, so I think it's, like, really open. And when you were talking about with the open meta, one thing that's nice about this many Pokemon to choose from is there's a Pokemon you've probably got powered up, even if you've just dabbled in PvP. When you start looking at each, like in the Prismatic Cup, each of these colors, you probably got something laying around that you could use. So it is inviting in that sense. But as a noob like me, it's a little bit intimidating because it's kind of like when you have Boulder or Tempest, it's very like, I know what to do. I've practiced this situation. And I can respond, you know, even through the course of the tournament. It's like, aha, I know it's coming. And you can kind of shield or not shield. With this, it's a free for all. You know, you're like, all of a sudden a Celebi comes out and you're like, well, I don't know what's happening right now. You know, so it's a little bit more kind of a crapshoot. Sounds like it's a bad thing inherently, but I don't think it is. But it is a bit more random. I guess there's more variance.
Yeah. I mean, the way I kind of look at it is I think what they're doing with this is they are gathering people who maybe have only done GBL and now they're hearing about Sylph and they're like, oh, these are the same Pokemon I use in GBL. This will be an easy transition. I can do whatever because think about like, so when I started, I came in around what Sorceress Cup when I started Sylph, like I didn't have a Scolipede, like, powered up. I know Salt does, but I didn't, you know, and then I didn't have it, I wasn't going to be competitive, you know? So I think what they're doing in the beginning of the season is to gain, you know, more of an audience to get more. There it is. Yeah. You're 50. Every time you guys talk about that thing, I'm just like, I love that.
It was good.
Yeah, one time.
Yeah. That was
a brief shining moment. I do like that about the Sylph Cups. They're like, to take a wider point, like especially when they curate these metas like this, like Salt, you're talking about when they don't just focus on a type, but they really put these together, it really does give weird Pokemon like a time to shine. Like we saw Primeape in the Vortex Cup last month, and that's nice. Like it's cool that every Pokemon gets its moment to have a little bit of flavor. In this specific
favorite
Prismatic Cup, what do you think? Is there a leading favorite in the early readout in terms of the powerhouse? Like what's the one to have?
I've been seeing Lantern and Hypno everywhere.
Really?
I love Lantern.
Yeah. He's good. You know, he's got the fact that he is electric and water, you know, makes that electric attack, you know, neutral. So he doesn't have to, you don't have to worry so much about it. Hypno is Hypno. Like you've got an arsenal of charge moves. So it's like, you're going to shield anything he throws at you because you don't know. That's what I liked about, so I'm running for brown and pink. I'm running Hitmonchan.
Mm-hmm. All the elemental punches.
Yep.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know what that is. And it's so spammy.
Yeah. And you don't know what's going, if it's ice punch or, you know, thunder punch or fire punch or whatever. You know,
a Hadouken, so, maybe.
It could be.
Could have that.
It could be. So that's, I've been seeing that like a whole lot, like those two almost on every team. Surprisingly, a lot of Flygon. I didn't think I was going to see, even though it's up there, I didn't
Amanda
expect
just screamed
to see
somewhere.
As many
just
of them. Like, yeah. And we even talked about it when we were going through like like a deep dive into each category. I was just like, yeah, I guess. And I think I should have taken that a little more seriously because my team has no answer to Dragon, like, whatsoever.
When you match up with somebody and you see their six and you're like, oh, well, I know what their lead is going to be.
It's a painful feeling.
The only thing I can hope is that their dragon is a Dragonite and I'm running a Molga and hope that I can match up with it and spam it enough that they burn shields and kind of take it down. But this has actually been a pretty rough cup for me compared to last month. Like, last month was, like, on point.
You were tearing it up last month?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you you placed in our tournament, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you got, like, top four.
And then I swept my first tournament in, like, ever.
A local or?
Yeah, it was a local one. It's I'm part of a group up in Tampa with Speediest Chief and some of the other, like, Lyndon Ryu and, you know, some
of the... Is that Hadouken?
Yes, there you go.
There it is.
Some of, like, the more, like, known, I guess, content YouTube create, like, PvPers. And it's an awesome group to be in because they're all really, like, helpful and they're all really good. So it's always, like... So sweeping, like, a tournament and that was, like...
That's legit. Like, how many rounds was it?
It was four, but four rounds with everyone in there was Challenger.
Oh, wow. And
I'm sitting there
Gnar and Salt to beat up on.
No buy rounds.
I'm sitting there
at
rival and I'm like, oh god, I'm gonna get
beat. But hey, yeah, did that jump you up? But all those quality wins?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Nice.
Because it wouldn't have done it this cup whatsoever. So I wanted to ask you guys, because you mentioned on, I think, like, 2 weeks ago that you guys were this was going to be your cup. and I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. So especially since I was thinking of having you guys on, I was like, oh, I'll be able to talk to them about it and see what they're going to run. And then you guys chickened out. And just
that is. So here's the deal. I 16th was the cutoff. It's so early in the month. I'm like, I'm going to get it together. I'm going to do it. And then it just whizzes right by because I'm thinking like, oh, that's like towards the end of April.
I'm still pretty sure it's the 8th of April. My computer says it's the 19th, but that's seemingly impossible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they did it on the 16th because I think the past couple cups were like, we were coming up to like the 30th or 31st and like we still like had to bang through like half or a round and a half or something like that. So
no, I just really need to,
the directors know best, but you know, come on, Unbreakable. Like, you can't log into my phone and do it for me.
Come on.
Speaking of Unbreakable, why are you guys giving her a hard time about that Magby?
Cause, and this is just a science fact. Magby are garbage. Absolute.
I hate that Pokemon.
Absolute garbage.
So I was in a practice, like, Love Cup tournament, that she was in with, like, the Lured Up Discord. And she came out with that Magby.
I saw the screenshots.
And it fucked me. Like, it
what?
Was.
What? It just got you?
It was, cause I didn't know what it had.
I have no idea.
Could you tell me what moves it has?
Being no crap. Clue. Is that what move it has?
Literally no idea. I'm Googling it right now.
It is actually surprisingly.
Fire Punch?
Pretty good. And then on top of it being, she's got the shiny flex going on and then.
She also texted me today to specifically correct me because I said on the show, I tried to give her an out during my shame shout that, you know, maybe it was part of a leveling up research. Nope. She clarified. No, that was of her own volition. She just wanted to do that. So
I was going to say, nobody made her.
There's no other rhyme or reason than just to be trolling.
Wait, what's your least favorite Pokemon?
Yeah.
Everybody always asks, what's your favorite Pokemon? What's your least favorite Pokemon?
My least favorite.
Mine is specifically Gnar's Magby.
Do I even have one? Very personal.
It's probably, well, okay. Are we going like in general or like in PvP?
No, in general. When you see that Pokemon, you're just like,
I think it's Meowth.
Yeah. Cause he's obnoxious.
Yeah. I watched the anime and then now that like my kids are into it, like they're watching it and I'm just like, every time I'm just like, Why was he the one that could talk?
Well, if you watch that one remake, sometimes Pikachu can talk if he's sad enough or about to die enough. And that was very upsetting to see.
I've never seen a bunch of grown men in one theater get so mad in my entire life.
I've seen soda clips, everyone just going, no, no. You don't know what we're talking about. They remade like the first like three episodes of Pokemon, kind of remashed them together and did like a movie. And at one point, you know, in classic like anime fashion, Ash is like really banged up. He's like, and then Pikachu is like, I choose you, or some creepy thing it says. And it was upsetting. Very upsetting.
It was such a high, like it came on, it had the original theme song, like everyone singing it. Mm-hmm. Like I brought my kids, they're like singing. They're like, Daddy, sing. I'm like, okay, we're all singing. And then I was like, oh, this is really good. Like they did a good job on this. And then that end part, and you just hear everyone just go, oh.
Just really shitting the punch bowl.
No. Yeah.
Just not good. Speaking of shitting in the punch bowl, Magby has Karate Chop, Ember, Flame Burst. That's a weird move. Brick Break and Fire Punch. So it's got some kind of spammy.
Brick Break and Fire. Did she come with the Brick Break and Fire Punch?
She did.
Yeah, it's spammy.
That's what I call Brick Break. This one I call Fire Punch. Here we go.
So, yeah.
Yeah, if I had like my Vigoroth and the thing just started beating the hell out of me, I'd be like, what is happening?
Karate Chop Magby, I guess.
Exactly.
Little flippers.
So, all right. Well, then since you guys didn't do self, so do you guys have any other questions?
We have, just wrap it up. We are conscientious objectors is what we are. Okay. We're not chicken babies. Okay.
Okay.
We're absolutely going to do it next month. Salt?
Doing it next month. Like literally.
He's got a kid coming.
Put your baby down. We're doing
probably,
this.
Probably. We'll see. Maybe we'll June. See. We'll see. Maybe June.
Yeah. When I start messaging you guys.
I've been doing GBL though. We talk about text GBL. Me. I've been doing that remix, guys.
Shame will motivate me. I just need enough people to shame me.
You guys.
You have my phone number.
Please direct your shame at
Nar,
like not
the audience with my phone number at this point, upsettingly. So people are just going to be blowing me up, being like,
yeah. Honestly, it's getting to the point. Nar keeps giving our phone number to everybody. We're just going to start putting it on our Twitter.
Might as well.
Just make it your screen names from now on. Just put your phone number.
It's great because, like, you know, I'll be sitting there and someone will text and I'm like, oh, I can stop thinking about work now. This is so much better. Fire that off.
Nice. All right. So let's move on and get into the in-game news.
Before we do that, real quick.
Sure.
I would love to, like, you know, play this podcast with you, but unfortunately, I'm going to need a fee.
You got it.
A $40 million fee.
Yeah,
in order for us to play, we want to play the game.
No. It's not so we'll participate. It's for you guys to unlock the bonus that is double Pokemon Go Radio League.
We'd love to.
You just need to put $40 million into an envelope.
Just slide that right
and then we'll
across
we'll
the
do
table.
It.
And then we'll
you
play.
Will have unlocked the bonus. And you'll get that sense of achievement.
Yes.
Well, so, that's part that of my special. Soapbox for the in-game news. So let's
hit it. Give me your soapbox.
Let's get on it.
Just wail it like a pinata. Yeah.
It's the end game. So
do you think, so I guess I was maybe joking there, but convince me that this is like a straight up evil cash grab.
Oh, this was 100% a cash grab. Think, just look at it. Look at GoFest. Okay. Didn't we have the same type of challenges?
Yep.
To unlock whatever bonus.
Every time.
Was going on. What, 20 minutes we hit that. Tell me how we have an entire week to hit 40 million raids and it happens ooh, for like ooh, what the last 48 hours.
I've got it.
Oh, so Landers. That's even like that's a conspiracy situation right there. So you think they're holding the numbers down being like we actually hit 40 a long time ago, but they're pretending like it doesn't count so we can just keep investing, you think? I thought it was the other way around. I thought like people were just like not having it. And they're just like, "No." Nah.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think maybe the numbers weren't so accurate cuz I mean, look at those.
They probably weren't rushing to update them.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's like a daily update.
But you know? I honestly, if anything, if I had to guess, if I don't think there was, but if I thought there was chicanery afoot, I would probably say they had to inflate the numbers because nobody wanted to do Landorus anymore.
Especially when you're getting them from GBL now. Like,
yeah.
I did one that I think maybe one or two that Reyes sends me. And
he's a raid
machine.
That
was it. Oh, he's awesome with that. So,
but yeah, Landorus shows up in your reward. And you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm just like, I got another one. I think I have like six and I didn't have to, I raided two.
Yeah. And then there's no shiny chance on the Therian forms, right? So it's really right. Just like, what are we doing this for exactly? It's not particularly powerful.
I saw on Twitter reversal is like 4 100s. I'm like, bro, quit. You won. What are you doing?
You got it. You locked it up.
You don't need to do anymore.
I think, tier five drives raids, raid traffic in general. Because it's not like I don't raid every day, but like, when I raid something that's not tier five.
Sorry, news alert. This Brumby, not shiny.
Is, just get used to that. It's all about that free pass, right? So it's like one a day. I see something in the park near my house. I just drive over and, you know, knock out like a Tynamo or something like that and I come home. But if the raid boss is good, like Rayquaza, I'm out here spinning, you know, remote raid passes, putting money in the game. But Landorus ain't going to do it. So I thought that was, maybe we theorized that it was intentional, right? They knew they kind of saw these, you know, the incarnates and then the Therian forms just kind of drift down. So this was like potentially a way to goose it, you know, at the end. But I don't think it had the effect they want. It was kind of like a, thanks for the double Stardust. You know, that was nice. But it was almost like a, kind of a morale defeat where you're just like, wow, we're really not into this.
They made it, they brought it up like this whole, like, you could have a potential of getting an entire week of double Stardust, and then it turned into like a community day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know? And everybody all together was like, oh, okay, all right, we're all taking the week off.
Yeah.
Cool. Everybody's going slow. All right.
Yeah. No.
Sandbag.
I would be interested to see if they do this again with something like a Rayquaza or like Palkia or, you know, Dialga or something like that. That's going to get people to raid. See if they do something like this.
Shiny Dialga, you just watch the bar fill up in real time. It just looks like a loading bar for your computer. Just whoop.
I think I'd like to see this mechanic where it's like, let's all do it together, but maybe let's not do it with raids just because it's kind of left a nasty taste in people's mouth. So let's have this like, let's all be in it together kind of thing. And in fact, we could talk about with sustainability. We're doing these activations. Now that's on social media, not like directly in the game. But if we watch that progress go up, then it's not like this when it's so clearly measured in dollars and cents, then it doesn't feel super good, even though you do get that free raid pass every day. If it was, let's catch a bunch of Pokemon or do those other things like we do for GoFest, then I would look at that bar filling up and I wouldn't immediately be like, oh, we're doing this again. It's kind of like a little bit, you know, the hand is out like, come on, guys, pay up. And,
money,
and we can kind of get away from, the money, please. We can kind of get away from that association. I think that'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be, because the soon as I saw that, I just was like, you just won $40 million. Like,
I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
They made, like, in a week, like, you guys, we just literally watched this company make that money. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Like, you know it's happening, but, like, it was almost like they're, like, showing you, like,
yeah, normally I don't have to watch a bar fill.
Just the stack. Just like someone flashes it at you and you're like, yeah, I get it.
And then
it.
They put everyone on the bottom, like all your friends on the bottom that are raiding. And I'm like five pages. And then I'm like, oh, there I am. One.
Oh, yeah. Or you just see the people at the front. They're like 80 raids.
I felt like that was a shame tactic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you know, the ones that were up.
Why doesn't Niantic just go ahead and post how many calories a day I'm eating too while they're
Yeah. I mean, the ones that were in the, like, the top three were always, they're just regular raiders. Like, they're ones that are going to raid regardless. So, like, I didn't feel so bad. It was, like, when I got to, like, halfway, like, I'm like, wait, why are you guys doing, like, seven of these?
Yeah, and then Niantic Labs tweeted, another Moscow Mule Salt? Haven't you already had three? Stop shaming me, Niantic.
This is an intervention, actually. We've all come together.
Never
to tell
enough.
You to drink whiskey, like a grown man. So, if you could please do
me
that.
A bottle of whiskey.
I need one.
I can turn a bottle of whiskey into an empty bottle of whiskey
fresh
relatively
out.
Quickly.
Yeah. So they're doing kind of like another type of thing like this with Sustainability Week. So that actually starts tomorrow. Today is Monday, which I didn't mention normally, but I do. So when this comes out, Wednesday will be like a day into it. So it starts on Tuesday at 10 a.m., runs through Sunday, April 25th at 8 p.m. local time. I like what they're doing with this. Like, I read some of the stuff. Like, I like when they're giving back. Like, it's not give us. It's like, we're going to help other people out. And when they add a new Pokemon to it, it just makes it, it makes me want to do more, for it. So, let's see. So we've got, so just so you guys know, we can never pronounce names of these things.
No one can. Yeah. Who says
because
not
you guys are too busy fighting them. You don't need to know about their
names.
You're
out here getting good. You don't need to know their names. Yeah. Just got another sound it makes when it smacks
someone. GoCast is out here being like, actually, the pronunciation is like, whatever, nerd. I'm going to fight you with it.
No. Come so I got called out two episodes ago when we were talking about Prismatic because I kept calling it Zapdos.
And okay, that's weird. That one's a weird one. You gotta know that one.
I was like, no, I think they messed up on
it's
that.
It's pronounced Zapatos?
Zapatos. No. It's Zapatos the Shoebird Pokemon.
It's the shoe. And then I think there was one other one that I was saying wrong. I was adding an A to it, and someone pointed out, they're like, do you just add A's? Anything that's electric type, you just add an A somewhere in there.
That's because they're...
Oh, it was Raichu.
Raichu. I don't like that.
Yeah. Raichu. It's like you're trying to say the Pokemon. You get a little ragweed halfway through it.
Yeah.
I like this. So, I think like this is where I think it's not just like a PR thing. Like this is clearly where like Niantic's heart is at. They're really like our do-gooder kind of people. Mm-hmm. And so to have this with Sustainability Week to kind of drive these interactions and stuff like that, it's kind of motivating. You know, like I want to go do a thing and tag myself with the hashtag. Well, we got to find the hashtag so we can tell people what it is, but to tag that games, to at Niantic games. Labs and be like, look, I'm doing a legit sustainability thing. And I think that's really cool.
I know.
Let's get those. The rewards ain't half bad either for Sustainability Week. So that's kind of motivating as well. These kind of events, when they kind of blend that in-world, out-world game, I think that's really cool. And especially if it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
Part of me really wants to organize like my squadron for like a cleanup day, which is a totally normal thing people do. Mm-hmm. For volunteerism and stuff like that. But then at the end to inform them they were all part of my elaborate Pokemon Go plan, they would be upset with me.
Would they?
Yeah, some of them would be. Absolutely.
I feel like
also this we're gonna get ready to do Operation Beedrill.
Oh, you named it.
I'm getting
one
more bold.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that one's not even clever. That's just the name of a Pokemon.
Yeah, it was almost Charizard, so.
Oh wow. Yeah, that would not I think people would know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the spawns for this event are actually pretty good. So we kind of focus more on the PvP Pokemon. There is, you know, we refer everyone to the blog they can look at. So, and you guys do a much better job at going over the everything else than we do. So.
I believe it's called belaboring the point.
Yeah.
Is Barnacle going to be any PvP relevant, you think?
So we had this discussion in the Discord and it actually, I think is going to be viable. So it's a rock water. Mm-hmm. So weaknesses, grass, electric, fighting, ground. But fast moves, it's running Fury Cutter, Water Gun, Mud Slap. So your Fury Cutter is going to generate your energy. And then you've got Stone Edge, Cross Chop, Grass Knot, and Skull Bash. So depending on what your team composition is, you know, I definitely would go with either Cross Chop or Grass Knot for just the spam purposes, and then, you know, Stone Edge for the nuke purposes. But PvP Poke has them beating Skarmory, Alolan Marowak, Abomasnow, Bastiodon, and Umbreon. So,
whoa, Umbreon? I would not have guessed. Oh, because of the bug?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. That's a pretty impressive
not
list.
Bad. Yeah. I was going to say, I get kind of nervous anytime someone says weak to fighting or weak to grass. I'm like, have you done a thing? Because there's a lot of just that up in there.
Oh, like ground.
When you cover that list, oh yeah, ground too. But those are some pretty good counters right there. So
yeah,
that feels good. Kind of like that.
It's definitely one that I know I'll be hunting around for. Hopefully I'll get more than this. What is it? This little algae fish that's...
The Clauncher or Skelp?
Skrelp. There we go.
Skrelp. Yeah.
Skrelp.
I think
Skrelp is a myth.
Three.
Yeah, I think I got.
Yeah, I think I got three or four.
Four, maybe in the wild total. I didn't see. I actually saw more Skrelp than Clauncher. I think I only saw like two Clauncher. I was like, damn.
I got, yeah, I think like two and then three of the, yeah, it was bad.
There's a Larion.
Ooh.
Is was it shiny?
No, because there's no, so that shiny form has not been released.
I don't know that. I think with, it's fun to use new Pokemon, so I'm just excited to scoop those up, and I hope it's legit good, because that's fun too. But there's
go ahead.
I was going to say, for the other increased spawns, there's Grimer and Ferroseed too. I've used both those in PvP and had some kind of fun with it, so it's good. You don't get a lot of chances to get Ferroseed, though I did think it was odd that we're having like Grimer Spotlight Hour on top of this, so it's going to be kind of a grimy week in terms of that particular Pokemon.
Stop mucking about.
Boo!
Are these points just... These puns are absolute poison to the flow of the show?
Where's your sound effects?
Just, they're in your heart.
I do hear a fart in my head. Heart right now.
So there's a lot of good PvP Pokemon in wild spawns, like Gnar said. Grimer, Ferroseed.
Trubbish.
No.
Yeah. Cool shiny, though.
No. Drillbur. So those popping up in the wild, good chance for PvP IVs. You're also going to get Goldeen, Badoo, Cherubi? Am I saying
Cherubi?
Right?
I mean, Cherubi? We're not confident enough to correct you, so.
Okay. Yeah. Finian and Drillbur coming out of your 5k eggs. So Goldeen, that's a good one for, you know, your XL candy or just getting candy in general if you do not have a Sea King, which is still a very viable Great League Pokemon.
Whoa. So, that's a dark horse.
Yeah.
I've come across too many Sea King.
Perhaps they you're not seeking
don't
hard
do,
enough.
Don't you do it.
They are few and far between.
Got them started now.
I'm far from finished.
Yeah. They're also very expensive in the fact that you have to have at least two elite charge TMs to make it work.
What do you have to roll legacy on Seeking?
Drill Run and Icy Wind.
Dang.
I have two Seekings.
Mm-hmm. And well, then,
it's got Mega Horn, so that's a good start. Yeah.
And if you want to get spicy with it, it's so most people run Waterfall, but if you want to go crazy and use an elite fast TM and two elite charge TMs, you can get Poison Jab, Drill Run, and then
freaking elite.
I do have the 140th.
Legacy moves does this thing have? Jeez.
I do have the 140th ranked Seeking.
Do it, salt.
I'm not going to.
Got to spend them on something.
No. Well, so, I mean, its key wins are Galarian Stunfisk, Azumarill, Skarmory, Alolan Marowak, and Bastiodon.
Okay, I might be doing that.
It's pretty legit. Unless you get to troll people with a big old goldfish, a horny goldfish, just throw that out there and be like, deal with this.
Like, what is this?
You don't know. I'm going to check this was a Pokemon. Do you remember this was a Pokemon? And people are like, no, I didn't.
Can I trade 30 charge TMs for one elite?
Seriously.
Ugh. I still have four elite charge TMs, but I only have one elite fast right now.
That might not. You might want to hold on to that.
So the
hashtag I mentioned earlier is hashtag sustainable with Niantic. And then if you tag at Niantic Labs, doing your good environmental work, right? You get those activations.
You know, I can't spell that.
Yeah, you can Google it though. And if you do that April 20th through the 23rd, that's the time frame. So I think that's actually, by the time you're listening to this, you're right in the thick of it. So you got a couple more days to get good. And I believe if you get 5,000 activations, Captain Planet comes. Salt, can you confirm that? You get that?
Can't confirm.
Okay, excellent. Cool.
Nice. You don't need the heart or the water.
Okay, first of all, nobody needed heart.
The heart was inside you the whole time.
Matei was there for purely morale purposes. So,
if he wasn't there, that monkey was going to attack somebody. You know that. He's the only one that can control it.
Yeah. It was just to round out the ethnicity of the show.
They just had to get the whole United Nations situation
they
up.
They did not need Matei. They did not need him.
I don't think so. No. I think they did need
him. And honestly, the only reason why they needed anybody but Kwame is because Kwame just wasn't a stone cold murderer, pun intended. Because if he wanted to, he could just kill people with rocks. He could just sink them into the ground. Yeah. He did it with vehicles and stuff all the time. I'm like, why don't you just do that to people? Why don't you just entomb them into the earth?
It's like, oops. Yeah. You were bad at the earth.
Why are you letting Wheeler mess around melting people's tires? Just crush them to death. I have a lot of strong feelings about Captain Planet.
It's like that Don Cheadle skit. Tree. So, are you going to be getting environmental?
I'm going to try. you know, I'll probably take the kids out and maybe do something around, like, local and, like, a park or something like that.
I was going to say, if you take all your kids, you basically have, like, you've got a crew.
You can do a basketball team.
Exactly. We can all line up and take care of the whole park in, like, an hour.
Just one comb through.
Yeah.
Just pass through. What's the age spread?
I got the orange shirts for them and everything. So.
That's a prisoner's. You can't, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, you have a chain gang. Yeah, that's what you have.
That's not legal.
We've got the shanties and all that stuff ready to go. And
that would be so cool. That's your version of timeout. Everyone's like, working on a chain gang. Yep. By water.
So they're doing these activation things, and tier 3, which is 10,000 activation, is 2x catch XP, which is good for people who are trying to get up to that level 50.
You ain't 50. Oh, you be shaming me.
I know, but I got a lot more XP than you.
Well, you ain't got enough, so come XP get it. You need to get
50. I'm at 41. I can max out my Pokemon to 50 now. Like, so that, it doesn't.
Once they said that with Go Beyond, I'm like, so what's the point exactly? Because I was feeling, for a week there, I was feeling real stupid that I didn't get on that XP for like the 2 years or whatever since I've been 40. Now I'm feeling kind of vindicated. I'm like, no, you guys run ahead. I'll catch up. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about me back here. I'm 42 and happy. Almost. Yeah.
So in the field research for this event, Cottonee is a big one. Because Whimsicott is running amok in Prismatic right now, too. It's a fun, I don't know if you guys haven't used it, it's a pretty fun little Pokemon to use with the charm. You know,
dirty. What do you have for the charge moves, assuming you ever get to use them?
It actually surprisingly builds up fairly quickly,
right?
I think it's Grass Knot. Give me 1 second.
I've got the 80th ranked one sitting here.
We got Charm, Grass Knot, Hurricane, and Moonblast, or you can do Razor Leaf for fast. So you've got two slow fast moves,
taking them chunks.
Funny, yeah. But you're chunking so much with Charm.
So are you just getting to the charge moves with that Pokemon because it's a tankier than some of the other charmers, or how are you firing off those charge moves with that?
Well, you're not trying to proc a Meteor Mash for one.
Yeah, I guess
that helps.
You're gonna have Grass Knot. I think with this one, the way I run it is I will just kind of charm down and keep building up, you know, storing my energy, and then depending on what it is, either grass, you know, throw off a couple Grass Knots or a Hurricane, because Hurricane will just, you know,
it's a hurricane.
Do some damage.
I bet a lot of people don't see that coming either, coming out of that guy. They're like, it's fine, and then you just get whacked with a Hurricane.
It's like Jumpluff, like when Jumpluff first kind of
poor man's Tropius
the PvP scene. Yeah. You didn't expect it to just like, oh wait, it's got this. And that thing is actually really tanky. It can take, I think it can take like 2 rock slides.
That's, impressive for super effective damage.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, tanky Pokemon, just the more adorable and just like the more you look at a Pokemon and you feel like you could press your finger really far into it with the texture of a marshmallow, the tankier that Pokemon is. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Tracks.
Azumarill, like they're all like that.
Tough.
I like the ones like Umbreon, where you look at it and you're like, isn't, what is this going to do? And then it's like,
never die.
Oh my God. Well, it's and undying. That's, we talked about it last week. I don't know if you guys saw people posting the silhouettes of Sylveon.
No.
The Sylveon silhouette has been pushed into the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on purpose or what.
Probably.
But if you name your Kira, it'll pop up.
Fun thought though. Friendship Day. Maybe a little surprise. That's how you evolve Sylveon in the main series, so maybe we're gonna get on this.
Well, so what we were talking about is the stats on this thing are, it's tankier than Umbreon.
Damn. They can't
probably
get
gonna
a charm.
They can't.
Well, Charm's one of its moves.
I know, but they've taken that stuff off before they introduce it. They can't give that Pokemon charm. It would be so dumb.
Yeah. The moveset on it is ridiculous.
If it was, just imagine Umbreon with charm. Just think about what that would be like. How demoralizing that would be. Is it just like, boom, just sliced off like a salami chopper, your HP bar, and you're just like, stop it.
So do you think this will be any good for it? Sorry.
What is that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You're just a little IV whore tonight. That's what you are.
Oh, no. I'm a 0-15-15 EV.
That's what I do with Dino when I get good ones. I'll send
him like, hey, is this one any good? Is that good? One of the bars isn't full. Is that good? It's probably not good.
I do hate the full, empty bar. You're like, yeah. No.
So, like Nar mentioned, there's other things going on. Friendship Week is coming up. There's not really a lot of PvP relevance besides the XP if you aren't at level 50 yet. I know there's some people who haven't reached level 40 that need to get to level 40 so that they can max out their Pokemon, because it is complete bullshit that you cannot get XL Candy until you hit rank 40. I don't like that.
It's hard enough to get it. That's just like discouraging to people, yeah. Because it is, you know, like a lot, if you've been playing for years, like you don't even think anything of it, but it is a long way to 40.
Mm-hmm.
A long way.
Now, yeah. Granted, there are a lot more ways to earn experience these days, like with the gift system and stuff. But as far as the amount of playing you have to do, even if it is being diligent with your eggs and opening gifts every day, that's a lot of hours invested.
Yeah. Let's get them something. There's no reason for that.
And just like all the raids and stuff where you're just not getting benefit, like, ugh.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So they're going to extend the trade distance, 40 kilometers, which, like you guys mentioned, they should just uncap that. Like,
yeah.
At this point, you know they can do it, so.
Well, especially now that we've done it, we've extended it pretty far.
If we do 80 million raids.
Yeah, there it is. We've extended it really far, and nothing, the sky didn't fall, you know, so like if something really terrible was going to happen, it would have happened at this point in terms of like some nasty black market or something, pay to win poke, like none of that's going to happen, you know, just let it go.
Also with the trading mechanics, like what's going to happen? Somebody's going to get like a lucky trade and they're going to get, I mean, like maybe it'll have Master League implications, maybe, but that's still a hard thing to set up, you know, to be lucky friends with somebody. I'm not seeing it.
You know,
or at least, like, give it a time limit. Like, for the next 2 hours, you can trade with anyone on your friends list.
I'd be super into that. That would be a great way. You could kind of make it like a scramble or a part of community day, maybe like before or after community days. Like, you know, you might have to work that a little bit with the hemisphere differences, but that could be really fun, you know, to be like a good, I imagine like if we get to go back to like in-person community days, you're all sitting around swapping stories, swapping Pokemon. Like, that could be a really fun way to, like, end the day.
Yeah. Which I'm looking forward to. Hopefully next year they'll do GoFest, because I hear you guys talk about the GoFest experience and, like, the content creator group.
Have you ever been before?
I've never been.
It's so much fun!
So, and
we're going to get you drunk. It's going to happen.
Nice. And I told the wife, I was like, oh, it's in Chicago. She's like, we're going. Cause she loves Chicago. So I was like,
Chicago's a cool city.
I haven't been since 2018.
That's sad. I miss it. I'm really sad that it's not happening this year, but one day we'll all just get together and just,
we might not survive the first or the next one.
I feel like we need to really like tamper down the expectations, cause we joke about drinking and stuff like that. And so like, When we show up to the Maripa, people are like ready to rage, and I'm like, oh, I'm like 33 now. This was like, I'm getting old. I can't be doing that.
And you guys are you guys, and we're us, and all of you keep buying us drinks, and there's just a mathematical equation where this doesn't work out.
It's a volume
anymore.
Issue, if nothing else. And also, people think it's funny to buy nasty drinks, and I don't think that's funny at all.
They think it's hilarious. I mean, it's objectively fair. They are correct.
It is funny, yeah.
Just hand me my hard seltzer and let me enjoy my night. So.
Settle something for me. Are you buying Pokemon Snap? You're not buying Pokemon Snap, right?
No.
Yeah. You're talking to a PvP player, Saul.
It's going
to
be so boring. He loves Pokemon.
If there's a spectrum of people that PvP and people that Pokemon Snap are on two opposite ends. You can't be both. It's not allowed. It's not hardcore enough.
So my Pokemon like journey started strictly anime and cards. So I never, like, I had, like, gaming systems, but it was, like, the big consoles. Like, it was either Nintendo, or we had a Sega, or we had a Super Nintendo. I didn't have a Game Boy or, like, anything like that. So I didn't actually get to play a console game until Pokemon Snap. And I was like, oh my gosh, I finally get one.
It's a weird one to start on.
And I turn it on, and I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Because it was boring then. And yeah. It's going to be boring now.
I don't see it. So my oldest son loves photography and taking pictures, and he's all about like the AR thing, you know, on the game. So he's like, "Daddy, can I get it?" I'm like, "Yeah, you can get it because you're actually going to like enjoy this. Like, I'm not buying this like whatsoever."
I think so. That is interesting because I'm thinking like AR Pokemon Go photography is more interesting. It's also a lot more work, but it's infinitely more interesting to me because like if someone's like, "Look at my Pokemon Snap picture," I'm like, "Get that out of my face. I don't care at all." And I can't, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that would be really funny or interesting, but I can't imagine caring about that. But I will look at every single time like GoHub puts out a collection of AR pictures. I'm like, about it. I'm looking at them. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
No, they're... it's interesting because I don't do those myself. I don't take the time to do it. So why would I play Pokemon Snap if I wouldn't do the thing that I value more? Because I'm lazy, exactly. I guess. I'm going to try it out. I think it'll be fun. Like, it's a Switch game. It's the perfect, let me sit here. The wife is watching some crap Bravo thing, and I'm just playing Pokemon Snap on my Switch.
Yeah.
And we got a tie-in event for it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. The only good thing about the game coming out is the tie-in event.
The only thing.
It's to me, yeah. You're going to have PvP-wise Lotad, so you can get your Dancing Pineapple going on.
That is the official name of that Pokemon.
Yes, I don't call it anything else.
Have you seen Detective Pikachu?
Yes.
It's a very upsetting noise. Ludicolo just got Leaf Storm,
too. It's even better
when
it's even better watching you do it.
Yeah. It's like I was there.
Most people don't know. I mo-capped that Pokemon for that movie.
Checks out. Makes sense.
That's awesome. I like the...
Though you kept insisting to do the shiny form, and I was like, Salt, do not do that. You should
I can
not.
See it. I can see him being the shiny form, though.
Definitely does.
Not of Lotad.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No. Raids, you're going to get Vaporeon, Meganium, and Trapinch. I will never raid a Trapinch. I barely even want to catch them.
Don't.
Not even a free pass on that.
Just too many of those out of a 10K egg for me to ever want to look at one of them ever again. But if you're new, you probably don't have a ton of them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get, good PvP IVs out of the raids, but you will get the candy and the candy XL, which is always good.
Don't you wish there was a way to do that? Like, just you could go into raid settings and be like, PvP IVs, please.
Yeah.
Just going in and doing these tier 1 and tier 3 raids, knowing that I'm going to get a butt IV Pokemon, just kind of makes it disheartening.
Yeah. Or you get that hundo and you're like, what can I do with this?
I mean, it's that's better than anything. A 96%er.
It's the keepsake,
Yeah.
It's kind of fun that way. I think with, I was going to say with the Ludicolo, the Leaf Storm, it's kind of like, I think it was like, have the same stats as Overheat, right? So that's kind of interesting just to have a grass, just absolute blaster on Ludicolo, which was a Pokemon that was like already seeing a lot of love for these weird things because of its weird typing and fun move pool. So just like throw more flavor on that weird Pokemon. I like it.
It's one of the few that got that move that actually can handle the debuff from it. It's actually, it's thick enough that if you throw it and you don't, switch out right away, you're okay with that.
That's interesting. I was kind of thought about it as like you would Overheat or something else, just a haymaker on the way down. But that's interesting to think about, like, you're not switching and people might think you're switching. You're like, nah, Ludicolo can handle it. You just stand there and you're
catch someone. Yeah, you catch someone switching into what they think you're going to switch out of. It happens, yeah. So, like, that's what the thing with Talonflame is. People, that's what is so crazy about and why everyone's so crazy about it is your Flame Charge and your Brave Bird almost hit full at the same time.
So you
never know what it's going to do. So you're shielding, and then when you don't shield, even if they get that debuff on the Brave Bird, they're dipping out. Like, they're getting out of there. Like, cause that thing, once it has that debuff, it's glass.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So,
I love the stat effects of the moves. I just really think like that's been a really like and they're applying it to Pokemon sometimes. This slate of Pokemon maybe not so much, but they're applying it to like interesting Pokemon. I don't know. Payback was more like the interesting move shakeup just because it applied to a few more Pokemon that were could potentially use it, I guess.
I wish it made, what is it, Cacturne? Mm-hmm. A little more relevant, because that thing is so cool looking.
Yeah.
It is. Like, it just, it doesn't.
It made Bronzong more confusing.
Oh my god.
Like, I don't know.
They
what do to
a
do
little
now.
Cup again, like Bronzer.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's a steel psychic Pokemon.
I'll just
that
use
has
my Bronzer for your Bronzer. What do you think about that? You're like, please stop. I did see, like, for Bronzong, though, it's, like, not a good move necessarily to put on there, which is kind of a bummer.
Just because it's got better charge moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that stab.
I don't know. That's I could definitely see it, depending on the cup and the way it shirks out. Like, maybe. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
It's always good. It's just like Machamp running it. Like, you're still going to run Cross Chop and Rock Slide, but you have that option. And it does. It makes you go, wait. Are they running that or are they running Payback? So with that, you're also going to get a shiny Smeargle, which I think this is the coolest, the best way that they've done like a shiny release. It's going to be there. You can only get it from taking pictures. And once this event is over, that's it.
It makes it like a fun little rare keepsake. And I was saying on the other show, it's so like perfectly thematically appropriate for the photo taking thing. You're just like, yeah, that's absolutely where it needs to come in. It would, like, if they didn't do it and we were like 2 days into it and someone's like, shouldn't shiny Smeargle be a part of this? You'd be like, yeah, it should be. They missed it, but they didn't. And this is a really good inclusion.
Yeah. So I knew nothing about that Pokemon except for that it painted with its tail until I listened to the episode that you guys did the Pokedex entry on.
Upsetting Pokemon.
And man, I was just like, ugh.
It eats paint. I'm sure of it. That's why it's got that lead paint. It's got that. Glassy-eyed look to where it's just like, are you okay? It's just like gone. Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for what's going on in game as far as PvP goes. So let's talk about GBL. You guys have been playing, right?
Because
I know this episode you talked about the remix.
I got a team I love. Oh, dang it. I actually went over to click the sound effect.
I was actually hoping you had it like on your phone that you just play it.
You did the sound effect.
Remix!
That's just as good. People would just believe that was a sound effect.
So have you guys been playing the remix a lot?
Oh, yeah. I love the remix cup. Really? I don't know what it is. I think it's interesting. Having played more since we recorded, I still think they could have gone more bands. Mm-hmm. I do. But I think it was enough to really make it exciting and make it fun. I've been having so much fun with my team. You guys will not guess what I'm using.
So
what
okay.
are you using?
That's yeah.
I'm leading off with Bastiodon. Just
okay. Oh
that.
Wow, brave. Okay.
I know. And then I followed up with Medicham and then Noctowl in the third spot. People
Noctowl
are not
is a little squirrely.
For
I have to give you like a little bit of respect, but using Bastiodon and Medicham is not.
No, it's the
what
Noctowl with those two that really confuses people. Because pretty much anything that they switch into, if they're not optimized for my Bastiodon, anything they're switching into is getting taken care of by my Medicham, but probably my Noctowl. Like, people are like not ready for either the tankiness of that Pokemon, or specifically in some games, the Nightshade on it is just like really throwing people off.
Yeah.
I have one-shotted some people with that when they're like, what just happened?
That's cool. What is
you,
your
what
favorite
you,
there,
what,
Chris?
Oh.
Because I've been switching around and I do not have a team. I'm going to steal your team. That's actually
you're going to steal
I'm
my doing. Team? I have not actually. I've played like two rounds of Remix.
You go on regular Classic or where are you putting your time?
Yeah, I stick to the regular Great League. But one of the teams, I don't know if you have a Bastiodon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you got one. So it's very similar to what Salt is running. But instead of, it's Dino, this is his team. He'll give everybody this team for Open Great League. And I think it plays a role in this too, because I'm pretty sure Meganium wasn't nerfed. No,
Meganium wasn't banned.
Yeah,
Meganium's
not
banned. It's Bastiodon, Toxicroak, Meganium.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work for
and
this.
What's up?
That'll work.
Yeah. He gives that team to everyone. I've used it. I've used it with an underpowered Bastiodon, and it works.
Still? Just getting after it?
It still works. He switched that up a little with the Toxicroak and went Medichan for the remix, and it's been working pretty well for him. I was running
leading
Vigoroth.
With Basti?
What's that?
You leading with Basti on that?
Yes, you'll lead with Bastiodon on that one. I was running Vigoroth, Sableye, and Altaria.
Sableye is squirrely. I like that. Like that.
Yeah, it's
Sableye out.
It's fun. It is. It's fun. It surprisingly can tank a whole lot. It doesn't have, it only has one actual weakness, and that's fairy. Everything else is pretty much neutral.
And I presume Jesus Christ. Look at that nasty thing, you know? That is
possibly.
Like, our grandma would start praying hard. She sees that thing, let me tell you.
Another update. This Bunnelby?
Diablo.
Not shiny.
Not shiny. No. That doesn't exist.
The slightly different color Bunnelby.
Well, I hope it doesn't exist because I've almost maxed out my Diggersby. And jeez. If I catch a shiny one, like...
Well, most of that was from before it was shiny, right? Because they just released that shiny like 2 weeks ago.
Yes, but if I catch a shiny one and it's
gonna be mad
PvP IEs.
I know. I cannot get enough XL candy with this.
I don't even think I have like 50
so,
yet.
So, Gnar, what have you been running? Because you said you have been playing, right?
So I've really borrowed heavily from this Pokemon Go hub list that we read off on our show that I think had some really good stuff. So Bastion's been good. Wigglytuff is... I feel like Wigglytuff always lets me down. Maybe I'm using it wrong, but I just feel like it's going to be like a real tricky haha Pokemon, and it just doesn't work. I don't know. It's I have Ice Beam on there, and that never really seems to be very helpful, you'd think, with Altaria running around. But then it's like I could just use Charm on the Altaria. So.
Well, because it's going to take forever to get to that Ice Beam.
So it's just not great.
It depends. So Wigglytuff is good. It can, you know, for a normal typing, because it's got the fairy.
Yeah.
It's neutral to fighting, so it helps you there. The Ice Beam does give you coverage. It just takes a really, really, really long time to get to those. So, if you're running Bastiodon and you're running Wigglytuff.
Not a lot of charge moves with that.
You're gonna need something to lead that's going, I would suggest maybe getting something that's a little spammier to lead with.
Yeah.
To create that shield pressure, because if you're coming in with Wigglytuff or Bastiodon, like, you're not going to burn shields.
Yeah, they'll have shields.
Like, unless the charm or the smackdown is super effective.
I could power up an Alolan Ninetales. I've seen people using that, and I don't have one powered up yet. Maybe I could just pull the trigger and do that, but there's still enough Pokemon that I could try in here, so.
You should definitely have an Alolan Ninetales.
I know, they're so pretty.
You should definitely.
I assume you're powering it up because it's so pretty. Is that why?
I've had it.
He's nodding, yes.
For a long time.
He's nodding, yes, it's because it's pretty.
It's very pretty. It's a very pretty Pokemon. It's very eye appealing, yes.
Salt things are sexy. And I'm like, Salt, you shouldn't use that.
Don't steal that joke from the Weekly Planet. He didn't think of that joke, everybody.
No, I certainly did not. It's always at the top of his
mind. It's going to say it's at the top of his mind because he thinks they're sexy.
Yeah. So, it's actually a very good Pokemon.
I should pretend like that wasn't a joke that they used. I'm like, that's a weird defense for someone that has a weird, sexy fox fetish. That's you, Salt. He's like, why did I invite these people on this show?
I was just thinking, I saw something on Twitter when someone was post something about Lopunny.
Oh, no.
And you're like, it was just, it.
It's like, if anybody has some strong opinions about the Pokemon, I'm like, I'm just going to back slowly away from this person. And hopefully never see what's in their browser history.
You hear that, DeFi?
Yeah. No one can have opinions.
So besides like Great League, I hear you guys talk a lot. You guys really get into Ultra League.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys run fairly similar teams from what I understand.
Sometimes we run the same team.
Okay. Giratina is my only Pokemon.
Is that just a twin thing that you guys like?
Yeah. Mom makes a share.
You pick the team and then... You know, Salt makes it, and then Gnar opens up.
I don't know. What have you been running on your Ultra League team, Gnar?
So I really like... I'm going to go pull up my stable of Ultra League Pokemon. I really like... especially when I was... Because I started this season in Ultra League, right? So I started at the very bottom in Ultra League. And let me tell you, if you've never had the joy of being like ranked one, throw out a Giratina and just watch people be like, what is this? And you just... I literally... for, I was feeling really cocky because I'm like, oh, I'm good at PvP, you know, as I'm like killing Bulbasaurs or whatever people were throwing out there. I'm like, ooh, I got like, I think I set a new streak, like I won like 12 in a row or something like that. And then, you know, you get to like rank 5 and everyone like eventually starts knowing what's up and you're like, oh, it's too bad. But there were plenty of just one and done Giratinas. I do that. I played with Snorlax a few times just to see if it would be an interesting get off Pokemon because it has some kind of squirrely charge moves, but wasn't a big super fan of that. I really have a love-hate relationship also with my Togekiss in there. You can do some kind of stupid things. Like, I've caught so many people with that flamethrower. I say I've caught them. Very rarely do I get to the flamethrower, but when you do, it is so satisfying because no one looks at that Pokemon like, I got a breeze fire.
When you cook a Venusaur, or the Venusaur is like trying to fury plant you, and you're like, you're not going
to
make
get
it
to that poison.
I know that's not a sludge. I know it's not. I'm not blocking it.
But this last season, I switched out that Snorlax and I've been using Alolan Muck, which I've really liked. Stay away from the ground, and then you're good on that one. So that's been a really fun Pokemon. I've got Snarl, Dark Pulse, and Acid Spray for that. And then I try to get cute with the Acid Spray, you know, try to do stupid stuff to shields and see if I can catch them on that. And actually, it actually works pretty well.
Yeah. Why aren't you running Sludge Wave?
I run Sludge Wave.
Probably should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably should. It's much better. I'm going to go ahead and TM that right now, actually, while I'm on it to get good.
So with
no
Snarl,
reason, that's why.
Yeah. If you're running Snarl as your fast move, you're still going to get your Dark Pulse is going to be your bait move. And then your Sludge Wave builds up fairly quickly after your Dark Pulse.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it has more damage than your Acid Spray.
I've definitely one-shotted some Togekiss like that. Like, build up about half, Dark Pulse, hit him with the Dark Pulse, and they're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. And then you just Sludge Wave, just dead. And they're like, you tricky ass.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to.
The one thing, like, we talked about and I noticed is now Ultra League has kind of, it's slowly making its turn into Great League Part 2 because of the XL. So do you guys have, like, one XL Pokemon that you are ready to max out for Ultra?
Sludge Wave.
Probably when it comes back, I'm probably going to go with my Diggersby. I have the 106th highest ranked Diggersby.
Again,
and
with
I'm
the IVs.
Still building up my XL candy stable. Not there yet, but I'm getting there, and I just love that Pokemon.
Yeah. My immediate thought with that is to go back to the things that people were trying to like really push up into Ultra League competitive by making the best buddies. So like Shift Tree would be an interesting one. I have
100% Shift Tree, so I'm really, really good at that.
I think that'd be interesting. I don't see as much love for Shiftry lately, though. I don't know if that's fallen out of favor, if the meta's just changed so much that people aren't using it anymore. What would you say, like, is the top three, other than Diggersby, what are the top three, like, get these for the XL candy? Don't miss clicking on those.
Depends on the league we're talking about.
Yes.
Are you going to talk Great League or Ultra?
For Ultra, since it's,
for
like,
Ultra?
The new Great League.
So Talonflame is definitely up there. You want Stungfist,
which
Galarian,
flavor?
Galarian.
Okay.
So that's the one. I have that and Altaria. I have two that are hundos. Those are like my next two to get up there. Because those things, surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, because Altaria is a beast.
Yeah.
It handles Ultra League.
That's interesting. I've always loved Altaria in Great League. Though there are plenty of counters, maybe because it was like, was Altaria the first like dominant force in Great League? I feel like it was. I remember like Trainer Tips came out with a video on that and everyone was all in the Altaria train. And so
I felt like that in Skarmory.
Yeah.
Right around.
Yeah, Skarmory,
like,
especially because of all the heat
you
got from
Boulder.
You
had to run one or the other.
People, you get a reputation when the first tournament is dominated by triple Skarmory. So that'll do it. but yeah, I have plenty of Swablu candy, so I should probably think about powering that up. I'll need another Swablu.
And then my other two would be Umbreon and probably Clefable.
Ooh. You think? Wow, yeah.
I like Clefable.
The Clefable XL is a monster.
Yeah. It also tracks with Salt's marshmallow principle because you can push it and it's tanky.
Yeah. So those would be mine for Ultra. Like those would be the three. Like if you have a Galarian Stumpfisk or a Altaria, that's 100%. Like those should be your buddies.
I feel
if,
good
if Ultra League is your thing
with that list, because like I need permission from a smart person to be like, it's okay, you can invest this without being a big old dumb idiot. I just need someone to like give me the thumbs up, be like, do it. So I'll get on both those because
I'm normally the big dumb idiot on the show. So
I've had like the nice thing about like getting the XL candy out of the hatching is like I've hatched a pretty fair amount of Stunfisk at this point, so I've started making my way to that 296. So it's probably not impossible for me to get some kind of XL power out of the thing.
Yeah. And going back to your shift tree, so actually in Great League, I'm running shift tree.
More like shit tree. Sorry.
It's a lot of fun. It's a very meta team. But it's been working, especially since the last week when all the leagues were available. Like I just took a giant shit. Like I was like 2200 and then I was like 17.
Ooh, no.
1700. It was just terrible. I was like,
sometimes you just go through a slump, you know, you just got to give yourself permission to slide down a little bit.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, this team, Dino gave to me, it's shift tree.
His
lead.
Fault, then.
Yes. Well, no, this team has actually been the one that's
this is the slump buster. No?
Oh, okay.
Yes. He's a slump buster. So shift tree lead and then, Azumarill as your safe swap and then Alolan Marowak in the back.
Okay.
Nice.
That's really similar. Just swap out the shift tree for the Altaria. And that's my favorite team.
Do a couple rounds with that tonight. You catching a lot of Swampert with that shift tree?
Well, surprisingly, a lot of people aren't running the Swamperts, but yeah. You normally, Swampert's been a lot, haven't really been seeing a lot of lead Swamperts.
Yeah.
Lately.
What is your goal with the leading the shift tree? What are you trying to do?
So shift tree is a bait, like it's to get your shields, because it's not like tanky, it's very fragile, especially if you get like a lead, like a fighting lead, like a fighter, just get out of there quick because it cannot handle a counter, but yeah, it's charge moves build up so quickly that you can get like a couple leap blades off, like boom, 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 boom.
Makes sense.
So you know, it's rapid fire. That also with, you know, having the dark, secondary charge move for Medichan.
Is that dark pulse on even there?
Yeah, I think it's,
foul play. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that helps, even though Medichan is going to beat it, you can get to that foul play and those leap blades pretty quick. So if you can line it up to where you've got that foul play charged up, get it switched out of there and somehow try and get that line back up to where you can hit the Medichan with the foul play unshielded, it works.
Nice. I like that. I'll try that. I haven't messed with shift tree, but maybe like on the way to the Ultra League, I'll stop it off at the 1500 cap and kind of experiment in Great League.
Yeah. You don't need that bullet seed.
Yeah.
Community day. Was it community day move?
Yeah, I think it was. It did have a community. I think it was bullet seed.
Yeah. So you don't really need that. Snarl is definitely it's a better
energy.
Better move on that one. So yeah. So that's kind of as far as like PvP stuff I wanted to kind of go over with you guys. So we have some questions, from our community for you guys, but also there were some things I kind of wanted to ask you since we're fellow nerds here. Yeah. And I know you guys watch a lot of the same stuff and, you know, that we,
German art house films.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
So I'm very terrible at watching shows. Like, so the only thing I'm very consistent in watching is wrestling.
Oh my God.
I am, if you're, you know, as the Discord knows, like when you come into the Discord, you get welcomed and then you get some type of WWE meme, like,
excellent,
or GIF, like right after that.
So we watched a good, like 3 years of that when we were kids. So we're not entirely unfamiliar with wrestling. And I can see the appeal. You know, it's like real dumb, crazy, silly fun. So, yeah. You know, I like that.
So I'm Hispanic, and my grandma, she watches, she calls them her stories. It's her, you know, 4:30, you know.
Oh, we've seen yeah. telenovelas.
Yeah. Yeah.
We love them.
Buddy.
So, yeah. So WWE is my stories. Those are my stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly
soap opera
what they
with
are.
Fighting.
It's absolutely a soap opera. Mm-hmm. And if you get really lucky, maybe you get like the luchadors in there, and then it just gets weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've actually done pretty well with this whole pandemic thing and switching and then watching, WrestleMania with actual fans like in it, like, you could see the difference in every wrestler that came out when
I bet.
That pop.
Because that just, would be such a weird, like, it's such a weird thing weird. To do. Like, to do it in front of no one would be odd as hell. Because you still got to keep it, like, that energy, that big, that larger mm-hmm. than life. But to, like, a crowd
it's like
of
doing a, it's like
cardboard
doing a,
cutouts.
Doing a stand-up in the middle of a... of an auditorium just by yourself with a camera.
That sounds
just no energy, no feedback, nothing.
I would prefer that.
Yeah.
So
can you imagine being a heel and nobody booing? That would suck.
Yeah.
Well, so at first, when it first started, like when the pandemic first, like, and they shut everything down, it literally shut everything down, I think, a week before last year's WrestleMania.
Ugh.
And so they had to, like,
WrestleMania was in summer.
Change
That's
everything.
March.
We just had WrestleMania.
I remember we go to BJ's house, get that pay-per-view. Miss Rose would cook some delicious Filipino food, and we would just have a ball.
Yeah.
Have a damn ball.
There was nothing. There was
Is
no
JR
fans.
Still on there?
No,
he's at AEW, right?
Yeah, he's in AEW now.
Oh, I just liked hearing him. Oh, my God! He was the best.
Yeah.
They actually, they had somebody on there the other day, I think, that was kind of like poking fun at them, but
not cool.
They try not to do, you know, they try not to bash on AEW, you know, it's not like that Monday Night War, like when it was WCW, WWF. It's not like that anymore, which is sad because that was probably some of the best wrestling ever.
It definitely drove a lot of competition and innovation. Mm-hmm. You were like the New World Order and. You remember the merger? We were actually watching during the merger. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That it was like a draft, you know? That was strange.
Well, when the acquisition happened, it was Bash at the Beach down here in Miami.
Oh, wow. So you got to see that front row.
And Shane McMahon came out, and everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? Like, this is
And he's
not...
like, my dad's important. And
you're like, yeah. Ah. Like, he's not WCW, and that's... That was the beginning of the end of WCW right there. But so that being said, that complete sidetrack,
feels right.
Yeah. I'm very terrible at watching anything. So, which is why I love Netflix and everything now with what Netflix does with their stuff, because they put everything all at once. But Disney has been doing this weird thing where they're going backwards in time and doing the weekly episode thing. And I'm like, nope.
Kind of
so,
like it.
I love it.
I
big stand for it.
I can't.
I wouldn't like it if it was like, listen, we're going to do all the shows this way and they're going to be 24 episodes long. That I got no patience for. But like Falcon and Winter Soldier, 6 episodes. It's like, oh, I got you for 6 weeks. I can do that. Yeah. You know, WandaVision, I think was like 8, maybe 9. Was like, you could hold me for that long.
Yeah, that was the one that I just finished. So I haven't started Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
And I remember I'm sitting there watching it, and first episode, I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah. What is this?
I liked
it. But it was so good. Like, I'm like...
I think it would also be way better, because you didn't have to, like... I assume you watched it, like, recently, so you didn't have to, like...
Yeah.
Because I think it was... With episode 1 and 2 being very like, we're doing a sitcom thing and like a little bit of weirdness, it was a little bit like, how get to it, you know? And if you could just kind of go through to episode 3 and then maybe it wouldn't have been so impatient. But mm-hmm. I really liked WandaVision a lot. I think it was interesting just because there was, plenty has been made fun of for all the people that were like, you know, Mephisto's and just like the weird. Fan theorizing and expectation ridiculousness, but I do still feel like the show was a little anticlimactic in terms of like, okay, And I think they've already admitted like some of it was COVID related. Like the final battle is like two people in the sky kind of just like throwing, you know, energy balls at each other. It's not
signature colors.
I throw
people.
Purple at you. I throw red at you. They had to film a lot of stuff. We couldn't do reshoots because of COVID that particular time. So it was like, it was what it was.
I felt like that was the one downfall of the whole show was just that it was very, like, I felt when you finally get, you know, who the villain is, like, I was waiting for the, like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Like, noise to come out of nowhere because it was just like.
For a show that was that weird, very predictable. You know, it's odd that it's both those things.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously she's the
best
guy.
Moments were 100% between Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to figure out what was happening to them and what it meant and the emotional stakes in it. That was by far the most interesting part of that show. When it came to actually like fight, that just was not very compelling.
Well, I would say the Vision fight I thought was interesting.
The way they did that.
Not just in the way they did it, because like it was a little bit like, you know, I saw somebody like do a pretty ham-fisted cut with like, I think, Man of Steel. And, you know, it's very frenetic, smashing through buildings, and that was kind of cool. But it ended in a way that was very, like, character appropriate. It's like, let us have a philosophical discussion, and, like, that is the Vision, you know? So it's just like, okay, this feels true to form. I like this.
Also about that show, I would watch Randall Park read the phone book.
Absolutely, I would. 100%.
I don't know what it is about him, but he is just... I think it's ABC, Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
He's in that. I have no interest in watching it. I've never seen an episode of it. I'll probably start watching it now that I know he's in it. Like I said, I just freaking...
He has that Chris Pratt energy where you're like, I just want to see this person do whatever.
Yeah. He's just so funny. I don't know what it is. And he's not even like joking a lot. That's an oversimplification, but yes.
Or when he's like, you can berate your coworkers later. Now is the time for action. You're like, what a little Boy Scout. I like this guy. Like, let's go. Let's go, FBI. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I think, is really good too. Similarly, really compelling characters, but they're not burdened by like the what's happening kind of stuff. Like it's very much like it has a very Winter Soldier like the movie kind of tone and vibe, and so it's very like
the weird thing is, so we're one episode away from it, and I won't spoil anything for you or for anybody else.
I haven't seen five yet,
but we've got one more episode left, and I feel like we're just kind of getting to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. I'm ready for the, I don't know what's going to happen in the last episode. I'm fairly certain everything's not going to be tied up with a little bow on it. And I'm pretty sure that's also their intent is to not do that. But I'm guessing if I had to prognosticate, probably would have liked to have seen eight episodes out of this, but maybe that's their point is they're setting up a lot of stuff for other series and movies, and
this is kind of one of the exhausting things.
It's just really fun to see Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie together.
We can talk about this with the Star Wars stuff too, but when people are like so focused on like, let's tell a larger story in a cinematic universe and what do all these things mean? It would be kind of nice to get a, you know, self-contained story that's like satisfying from end to end, because, you know, you're sitting there watching WandaVision and there's like an in credit scene and you're like, well, that looks pretty interesting. I kind of like to know more about that. And it's almost like not a teaser, but more like, I feel like this is part of the story. Like, I feel like you're not giving me the whole thing, and I don't really like that feeling. And if they do the same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier, I'm going to get a little cheesed. I'm like, I don't need you to wrap every single thing up, but I think
the plot will be resolved, but I don't think very intentionally all the characters' journeys will come to a not even an end, but really a very long natural pause. I don't even think we're going to get there. But the central conflict of the series, I believe, will be resolved.
Yeah, that's fine then.
Yeah. I'm interested. So I was one of those people who, at the end, do we have to spoiler alert Endgame?
I think you'd like,
by now?
Oh, Endgame? No. Yeah, no, that's good, the biggest movie that there ever was. Yes. If you're listening to this and you somehow haven't seen Endgame, then like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah. There's parts of that movie I can't watch just personal reasons, but like, end, like, was I the only one sitting there waiting for Bucky to get the shield? Like, become Captain America?
Yeah, I kind of was too, and I thought it was interesting. And I really think, like, if you take Sam Wilson on paper, and you're like, this is that person, and you're like, that feels real Captain America. Like, very much like that. but never really got the screen time to be anything other than a sidekick in these movies, right? And so
I'm going to tell you, I was right there with you after, and I'm not going to say why and what happens. After watching this series, I am fully on board with what they chose to do and why they chose to do it.
That's the coolest thing about it, is that they give the character, and that's the cool thing with these episodes, like, they give the character time to breathe, and not only do you see why, like, Bucky is not the right choice, but why Sam is the right choice, and you just, it really gets to become not a sidekick character, and never really, like, I don't think he was, like, a sidekick in, like,
we have to come back on to talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but.
not a sidekick in, like, a Batman.
It's about what Sam thinks about it and what Bucky thinks about it, and it's just, it's really cool. And they would never have time to do this in a 2-hour movie. Yeah.
The character finally gets time to be his own character. And so I really think that's like the biggest success of the show is before I'm like, that's going to be weird. And now I'm about it. I'm like, that's Captain America. He's got that Captain America energy. And they also, like, weirdly enough, like, especially, I won't ruin it, but like, there's a bad guy that's like talking about Steve Rogers with like such reverence and respect at a moment. And you're just like, wow, this is like Superman. You know, they did like a Superman character almost. They made this character mythic. Captain America is like a mythic figure in this universe now because of all the things that he's done. And it feels very earned. So I just think like, it's a little triumph of storytelling right there.
Yeah. I think them going with these series on like these characters, these side characters or characters that weren't like your, you know, lunchbox superheroes is what I call them. The ones like the faces of it. It gives them that avenue to make them that lunchbox character. But it also is a better way to get from, you know, not Bucky not becoming Captain America to seeing a slow evolution to where eventually he does become.
Everyone's going to get a turn.
Yeah. Also, when you're 15 years into this thing, you don't have time to do, just based on the release schedule, they can't make 3 Falcon movies to get to where they want the character to be, but they can do this.
Because I don't think it would have held up. I don't think anybody, it's not going to, a Falcon movie wouldn't do like what Iron Man did.
No, but I honestly think at this point, like, they put the Marvel logo on it. Like, people are going to show up to watch, like, a Last of Man.
Just
like,
start throwing money out.
Probably.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Like, I think that's the cool thing is, like,
proven point, Guardians of the Galaxy. That's a nothing comic book. That's a nothing comic book. Nobody was talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
I will say, though, that once they dropped that trailer, that was the definitive moment.
But that's
where,
what,
like,
I'm saying. That was in the execution. It was not, like, the IP.
That moment was when I, like, was like, they can make it.
Because James Gunn is a star-spangled, like, Starman who's just gonna bring you into his acid vision.
Pretty much.
And
I
then,
think, like,
have some of the best soundtracks in.
Oh my god. I'll listen to a whole Guardians have, like, one and two soundtrack just back to back. It's
so good.
Fire.
It's
Chain.
So good. But they do, like, Marvel's done a good job with almost everything. As far as, like, their shows and, you know, even, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was good. You know, those
What's
things.
Your favorite Marvel movie?
My favorite Marvel, like.
Yeah, your favorite, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So, Spider-Man is my favorite Marvel character of all time.
Mine too!
So, I forget his name. The new Peter Parker. The one that's actually like Peter Parker.
Do you want to do the impressions that you're stealing
Hello,
jokes
from? Hello, Governor! I'm a little bit of, oh no! My name's Tom Holland.
I'm Tom Holland.
Yeah, it's also from
Tom
the Weekly
Holland.
Planet.
But he's just like, oh, sorry.
Because he's so British. It's funny. Because he doesn't sound
I'm
like
a little
it.
Chimney sweep.
So those were my favorite. Just
he's really good
I
in that.
Felt like,
another thing they did, someone pointed out, it's like, remember Civil War when he just, like, demolished Falcon and the Winter Soldier, like, just clowning on them, literally joking, while he's, like, throwing cars at him and stuff like that. And you're like, this kid is incredibly powerful. Like, he's just, you know, as strong as an Avenger, just, like, out there wrecking. And he's, you know, at that point, like, 16.
I feel like sometimes people forget how strong Spider-Man actually is.
I think that makes for a really interesting dynamic with that character, because you have literal, like, war veterans just getting, like, you know, they've seen some stuff, they're battle tested, and then there's this person that's a kid that has these just cosmic powers, and it really kind of plays back to these, like, you know, superhero tropes, and like in kind of like that weird Shazam way where it's just like, what would happen if you gave someone great power if they were a kid? You better hope they're good. But I to answer your question, Salt, Obviously, you can't compete with like the emotional powerhouse that is in-game. That's just nothing that can replicate that experience. But in terms of like a standalone experience,
I know what you're saying because it's my Thor Ragnarok is the best.
So good.
Yeah, after Spider-Man, it's probably.
Oh my God, Taika Waititi made that movie just for us.
It's my birthday.
God,
so weird. Absolutely. The thing
I We're going into the Devil's Anus. To be fair, I didn't know it was called that. God, so there's so many parts of that movie where I'm just. Love it so much.
It also kind of makes me regret Thor 1 and 2 a little bit. Because you're just like, oh, he was funny this whole time. You could have just been letting him do that.
I know
Son
him.
Of a biscuit.
He's a friend from work.
Yeah, you're like, you should have been letting Chris Hemsworth do this from day one. Don't bleach his eyebrows. Just give him some lines, you know?
Yeah,
do it.
So funny. But that's also, Tessa Thompson is a revelation in that movie where she just falls off the ramp when she walks in. Oh, I could talk about Thor Ragnarok for two more hours.
I like love that movie. The Fifth Element feel that it has.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's just like absolutely. I started watching and I was like, oh my gosh, this is, I felt like I was just watching a different part of Fifth Element.
That design aesthetic was so like late 80s, early 90s, just like Technicolor explosions and weird futurism. Yeah. I like
it. Obviously. Awesome. So
upcast.
Yeah. So with Marvel doing all that and there
I have one more thing I have to say about Thor Ragnarok. When Kate Blanchett introduces herself and then what's his name from the Heroes 3? I can't remember his name. He's the Asian guy.
Oh, yeah. I know the one.
He has the mace ball and he's like, she's like, I'm Hela. And she does. And he's like, whoever you are. And she's like, just that wide shot of her being like, did you not hear a word I just said? Yeah. Ah, so good. Sorry. Everybody,
no, I was sad how the Warriors 3 went out like that. I did not think that was cool. That was a bummer. Mm-mm.
So what I was saying is Marvel does a really good job of tying all of their stuff together. Their shows, their movies, everything. They're very good at putting it all together. One of my favorite franchises, unfortunately, I don't feel has a very good way of doing this at all. And that's the Star Wars franchise.
Dude.
I live by it. You know, it's, you know, if my wife, she probably would if I asked her if we could have Star Wars bedroom sheets. There you go.
Respect it.
Yeah. We would have it. But Mandalorian, phenomenal.
So good.
Loved the fact that they took something that really didn't have much in the canon, you know, your main films, and said, we're going to go a complete opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then us, you know, bringing Ahsoka in there, which I like.
I cried a little bit.
Rosario Dawson.
Now, I will say I'm an Ashley Eckstein stan from all the way. I'm like, she could have done it. I love Rosario Dawson. There's no sense getting mad about it now. But
so I met her.
A little bummed. Oh, Rosario
you
Dawson
met her?
Or Eckstein?
Yes. Eckstein.
Oh, that's
what?
So cool.
Where? Convention?
So we have, well, we used to have Star Wars Weekend at Hollywood Studios in Orlando. And I would go like almost every year. So the last year, no one knew it was the last year, but it was. It was like the very last year. She was there. I forget his name. He's the Emperor.
Oh, Ian McDermott?
Yes. He was there. And then, you know, just like B characters and stuff like that. So one of the things you can buy is like those meet and greet passes, for those. So I got a picture. Find it, it's on my, signature, everything. Like, you got like a t-shirt from her clothing line that she did.
Oh yeah. It's like, nerd wear for girls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember the company.
I'll Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you got a shirt.
It's Hogan,
like
by the
way.
That's
cool.
The name
but
of the
But she's super, super nice. It was probably like the one time like I fangirled out.
I would absolutely geek. I think with that character like showing up and even then like, you know, the way I can't imagine you don't know how.
Her universe.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody in this world doesn't know how season two ends, but like, because they put those things in season two, they felt much more earned. And like, especially season one could just be so unburdened by expectations. Like, I really do think in a lot of ways, I love the sequel trilogy. In a lot of ways, I just shake my head being like, what is any of this? Like, as a cohesive story, you're just like, how did any of this happen? Like, what is going on?
I felt like they should have went and not called it canon. Like, they should have just, it should have been its own standalone trilogy.
Or, yeah, or just wait. I know it's impossible to do it now, but like, if you lead out with something like The Mandalorian, it's like, listen, guys, we're going to get to the Luke Skywalkers and everything. Just let us get a little, time. You know, like, there's no way that was practical. And I certainly don't think I would make that decision in 2000, you know, 10 or whenever they bought this thing. But like, it's so great to see The Mandalorian because it can just live in the Star Wars universe without having to like meet every single dumb person's dumb expectations, me included. That's just like, I need this thing to be everything to everybody. And The Mandalorian's just like, it's just like Din Djarin off doing Din Djarin stuff. And it's like, he lives or dies or whatever. Like, it's going to mm-hmm. be fine. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, talk about amazing casting and storytelling.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about Rune Breed. There's an entire episode where he just fights a rhino. That's the whole episode. You know what I'm saying? And he gives an egg to a Jawa. Like, that's it.
This series. I don't know. I don't know whose idea it was to make a baby Yoda, but whoever that is should literally, they should walk over to that person's office and give them $1 million. Cause it's a $1 billion idea.
Yeah.
In terms of like, it's so rare for something like in today's society to just go like in a week, wall to wall, universal, everyone is on it. And that was one of those moments. And those are rare.
Everybody
Baby Yoda
that.
Did it. And everybody loves Baby Yoda. Yeah.
Do you think they should have given it a name?
Yeah.
Earlier?
Yeah.
Because it's forever going to be Baby
Yoda. Baby Yoda. It's not Grogu.
I think it's...
It's not Goku.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the way they chose to do it.
Well, especially like, since it wasn't like a big reveal. Like, it doesn't. It
also, I mean, it's not. Grogu's not gone. Like, we're going to see way more of Grogu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, so, just from a story perspective, you need to. But, like, if they would have just found some way in season one to just give it a name, you know, somehow.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how. But, like, that would have been, I think, better than just waiting forever to get Grogu because, yeah, it's kind of. It's almost detrimental to the character to be keep calling it Baby Yoda. So that's what it is.
My favorite thing, keep hitting my mic stand. I feel like you guys.
Snipping bird.
So one of the things that I loved about the show
stop doing that.
Such
I'm
a
done.
Terrible noise. is obviously when Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Like, makes his appearance. And Boba Fett has always been one of my favorite characters.
He's bad at his job.
Whoa. Next thing you know, this guy's going to start talking about how Die Hard's a Christmas movie. We're like, calm down. Go ahead. Please proceed.
It technically is a Christmas movie.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, we don't need that internet hot take. Yeah, Boba Fett's better than God. Boba Fett's badass is the law.
But what is so crazy about Boba Fett is when you sit down and you watch the original three movies, he's nothing.
It's like 5 minutes of screen time, yeah.
Yeah, he's got like 5 lines,
yeah,
I think, total. And
one of them is him dying.
Yeah. And he dies in the stupidest way.
Yeah. Blind Hunt. That's why I always say, like, he's bad. Blind Han Solo beats Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But it works in that scene and all that. And, like, he's an awesome, iconic character. But I really like how the Mandalorian was able to pay off that character.
Yeah.
And now I am so stoked for the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my entrance. God. They just really like, Boba Fett didn't just like walk in and be like, I'm Boba Fett, fan service, like comes in and then just like with relative to Star Wars, like some brutal fight choreography, like smashing people with that, like,
that stick.
What are those, big
Bantha sticks?
Bantha sticks, yeah.
No, that's not what it's called.
Yeah, they're Banthas.
Yeah, on Tatooine, yeah, it's Bantha
just
stick.
Just clubbing people to death, like in shattering armor, and you can almost like feel the viscera fly up when he smacks him with that thing, and just like knee rockets and all the stuff we were promised with Boba Fett, just going absolutely ham. And the other thing that I thought was really subtle is like in episode one, they show you this crate dragon and they just tell you it eats Sarlacc. So like they don't come out and be like, does that mean Boba Fett escaped from the pit when the crate dragon, but they lay that down. So it's like, you know, a little bit of a, okay, I get it. You know, you don't need to go into over detail about how he got out of the Sarlacc pit or whatever. There's books and comics for that, but just like Boba Fett's here and it's awesome.
Exactly. So I don't do social media. Like, I'm terrible
Smart.
At it. I have Twitter and that's about it. And then I pretty much just tweet out of our podcast account.
It's the only thing I use Twitter for.
Yeah. So I don't get a lot of spoilers, which is good. So I don't see a lot. So when I was watching it and I see them go back to Tatooine, I'm just like, this is it. This is when it's going. If it doesn't happen now, it's not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
And just I just remember like the character coming out and I instantly knew helmet off, spurs. Everything. I knew who it was.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
right away.
I think that was cool because they essentially told you, right, with the spurs and the location. It's like, this is Boba Fett. He's coming, you know, just like, and it kind of just like, and then even all the way back in episode one where they show you his armor is like, you know, it's in the back. It's not really his armor, but it's essentially like, yeah, Boba Fett's coming. It's like a little tip of the
They're not going to make a show called The Mandalorian, and the most famous Mandalorian is not going to be in it.
Yeah.
But did the character justice, didn't steal the spotlight, waited a long enough time to build Din's characters up, and very much additive, but never a distraction.
It I'll tell was you who
really well done.
I was surprised by. I'm thinking going to remember her name, Ming-Na Wen or something. I think that's the actress's name. She's Finn or Fang or something like that in the show. She's the assassin that he saves on Tatooine. You know,
yeah.
Okay. She is compelling as well. Like, really, just a very interesting character because, like, in the first season, she's kind of like, you know, the villain of the week, whatever. She shoots people sniper style, not particularly interesting. But in that episode, where she's like, you know, life debt, you're like, okay, there's something to this character. Like, this is interesting. She's got a code and having like a, you know, Boba Fett have a fellow badass wingman to like cut up with.
Oh,
when
yeah.
She, when they walk into the palace, you know, at the end of, and she's just like drinking that weird blue whiskey or whatever, sitting there on the throne. You're just like, okay, I want to see more of this duo right
absolutely
here.
Absolutely. Just what's that Twi'lek's name? You know his name. You've said it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Why can't I think of it? Yeah, the one they kill.
Yeah, Luke is just like, you will be rewarded. What's his name?
Oh, I can't think of it.
Yeah.
Jabba.
But yeah, just murders him. Yeah. And then Boba Fett's like, I'm in charge now.
Yeah. I just think it's so crazy that he became such an iconic character with, like, no screen time, no lines. And it's just like, he's popular enough that he can hold his own series and people are going to be, like, super into
it. What do y'all think it's going to be about?
I hope it's an anthology. I hope it's an, I don't want to see like the story of Boba Fett. I mean, like maybe it could be as a framing. If I had my druthers, the framing device is him on Mos Eisley, or not him on Mos Eisley, him on Tatooine, establishing a criminal
Fortuna.
Empire. Bit Fortuna.
Bib.
And Bip.
Bib.
Bib.
B-I-B.
The, establishing the criminal empire there, kind of quashing rivals or whatever. But the majority of the episode is a anthology flashback to one of his previous adventures as Boba Fett. Obviously, helmet on, you can really do that kind of thing. And it just shows, you know, it's Boba Fett remembering something that is apropos of the situation he's
faced
in.
I
kind of
like to see it set in the current timeline, you know?
No,
like,
I just don't think, like, the day in and day outs of Boba Fett's workings are interesting.
Well, I
think
mean, there could be, like, you know, people arriving, you know, Tatooine's always interesting. I think it would be interesting, because then you get to see the characters that we've already established, specifically those two.
But if you do it my way, you get to do some really cool flashback stuff. Like, you get to have Donald Glover in, potentially, because you're showing stuff from back
maybe
in the day.
Maybe like half and half, I could go with that. Like, you get weird, you can do that.
You
but
can
I
finally
just
find
see
out why no disintegrations.
Yeah, that's true, too. I think, like, I really liked
you
seeing
you can have Vader in it. You
can
do that.
I don't... We get so much from that time
enough
period. Let's just this, there's
the last
30 years of history to explore between the, you know, the original and the sequel trilogy. Let's fill that in, you know? Like, we don't need to go back to that time period.
Fair enough. We are about to get the Obi-Wan series, so.
Yeah.
That's why I got my beard, to be sexy like Ewan McGregor.
It does.
So close.
It's got
basically that. Twins, that's what they say.
Nobody says that.
We could probably talk about this for a whole another hour or something like that. So maybe one day we'll do another little bonus episode.
We got to do a bonus episode on the sequel trilogy because I got some thoughts and an upsetting amount of fan fiction up here. So don't you guys worry about it. I'll tell you about it someday.
Well, let's do it. So one thing that I have to ask Salt, or I'm sleeping on the couch. So, for those of you who don't know, Salt is an avid smoker. And when I say it like that, everyone's like, what is he smoking?
I can't quit. get that juice box.
It's, so he smokes meat. What? all the time, like every day. I feel like you're always saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally not smoking turkey breasts right now because I'm recording this show. Otherwise, I'd be out back smoking a couple turkey breasts.
In a bong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like what this microphone is.
Was that the sound effect?
Probably. Yeah. It's been a while.
I mean, I wouldn't know how it sounds.
I don't know.
Five times. What about the... Yeah, yeah. So, Salt's so into smoking. If you want to talk to him, actually, just text Chris when you want to talk about smoking. You could just talk to him, Salt. Just feel free to keep me out of the text chain. You can talk about meats and salt. Well, I like smoking. I smoke. But to me, it is like an oven. It is a way to prepare food. Salt treats it like it is an art form.
It is a holy rite.
Yeah. So, my wife, we used to listen to... Like, I listen to you guys every Monday on the way to work. At one point, we were both driving together in the car.
She's like, so, turn this shit off.
She's a good sport. Like, she plays, and she actually likes it, you know. And you guys did the bonus episode on smoking, and she was just like, this is awesome. Like,
do that.
Loved it, yeah. And then when you talked about the bacon fat on the
steak, reverse sear.
Reverse sear with the bacon fat, I was like, done.
That works on pork chops. Peppa told me about that, and it's real good. Nice. What's good on this pork chop? Bacon fat.
Yeah, more pork.
Yeah. Some hot cast iron.
So she wanted me to ask you guys, or ask Salt, what is, for someone who, like, we don't have anything to start smoking, mm-hmm. what is, like, the best way to get started with this?
So strongly recommend you do not buy a wood burner, like I have, my big offset smoker. Because they're a lot more expensive, especially if you're going to buy one of any like amount of quality. And I say a lot more expensive. You can get one for like $300, but it also requires a wood
not
pile.
A good one for $300.
Mine was $300.
Yeah, but is it a good one?
It's not great.
Yeah,
but actually, mine was $400. It was like $350 and change. So then you got to get a wood pile, and then you got to. I probably put like $200 of mods into the thing to make it where it is right now. Because I was just buying a body. And then beyond that, just other than the cash investment, the amount of time it takes to get good at smoking on the offset and just like fire management, all that kind of stuff, I just don't recommend.
They're also
it.
It's bigger. Like,
they're a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So if you've never smoked before, but you really want to see if it's something that you like and you're passionate about it, I recommend a relatively cheap vertical box smoker, which you can find at Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot,
Pit
you
Boss can find is them. A good brand.
Yeah, you can find them don't get me wrong, you can find expensive ones. You can find ones for like $500. You probably find some out there for way more. But you can get them either propane or electric, and you can get them for as low as like $100. I'd probably go somewhere in the 100 to 200 range on it. And you're really just buying thicker materials for that. And they burn like an oven using either electric or a propane source, but you can augment that with smoke flavor by using wood chips. Now, there's some pluses and minuses to that because you're not going to get the same effect as you would burning logs just with a whole bunch of chemistry in it, but you still get the low, slow heat and smoke flavor onto the meat. And you can do pretty much anything you want in one of those vertical smokers. I'm talking ribs, turkey, chicken, whatever you want. And that is a way to really get good at applying smoke on meat for low periods of time with a controlled temperature. And it's not quite like a pellet grill where you can set it and forget it, but it's really easy and you can kind of focus on the recipes and the output. And then if you find yourself really liking that, you find yourself looking at all kinds of cool recipes, then you can upgrade to an offset where it's like a pellet smoker like NARS or a wood burner like mine. If you find that like this is something that you want to invest time in for that. And then there's any number of other accessories.
I really like
that.
The pellet smoker because it's incredibly easy to use. I don't have to wake up as much. It just, it just feeds the little pellet chips in there.
If Nar and I were going to make a brisket, he wakes up one time.
Yeah.
I'm just awake.
That's dumb. Like I said, I'm trying to get this meat. I'm not trying to flagellate myself to make it delicious.
I want the
delicious.
End result. I just want to eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'd probably start with the vertical.
Another good piece of meat to start with, I think, that's really forgiving is a pork butt because they're moist, they're flavorful. You can
at the end of the day, you're going to have cooked pork.
You're going to cook pulled pork, and it's also very versatile. You can have it on tacos. You can have it on a baked potato. You can just do a good old-fashioned pulled pork sandwich on a bun. Yep.
Put a thermometer in there. When it gets 200 probably good.
Yeah, you're done.
Nice.
So they're
oh, and then the YouTube channels, like I said in the smoking episode, How to Barbecue Right with Malcolm Reed, and then anything Aaron Franklin does.
Yeah, Aaron Franklin is really good for that. But How to Barbecue Right's also, those two are great.
Nice. So
Vape Nation! Don't do that.
So let me ask, so we got some questions that I just want to bang through because we're already running like, I didn't realize we were like running 2 hours already.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't shut up, it turns out.
I was going to say, when somebody starts talking about Ragnarok.
Yeah. Or apparently professional wrestling. I didn't know we had some serious thoughts on that either, but
I know.
Here we are.
Look at that. Well, we're going to have to do this again, just, you know, like an offset.
Just all
of
off
one
topic.
Of our shows where it's just completely
get
off topic.
A little
topic.
Drunk.
So I asked our Discord for some questions for you guys or for all three of us. So this one came in from Cinder Hayes. It says, question for Astro, Salt, and Gnar. As a new dad, March 30th, new daughter.
Yay!
My PvP playing has dropped to one or two sets a week. As a little bit of sleep is much more important. So with Salt's upcoming child, what are some tips to both strike a healthy balance and not lose all interest in the game if you can't be the very best because you're busy trying to be the very best dad?
Okay, first up, you need less sleep.
The one person without kids goes first. That's smart.
Yeah.
Just need less sleep. You're about to learn. I'll say one thing that I found.
That kid is not going to be able to deny me enough sleep.
Do your sets in the morning. Because my problem is I get amped playing PvP and I get my adrenaline going. After five sets, I'm like, can't go to sleep now. I'm up. My adrenaline's pumping, you know. I got the shield or didn't and I'm dead and I suck or I'm awesome. So I would recommend knocking them out in the morning. Yeah, hopefully your kid learns to sleep at some point.
Yeah.
That's critically important to your emotional well-being. But
yeah,
as far as like practical advice, morning sets versus night sets.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I am a literal, not just a name, a zombie in the morning. Like
A guy who's
function.
In a band doesn't do well in the morning.
A zombie in outer space, sir. You led me to believe something different.
Yes. So I
it's like an event horizon
literally
situation.
Wake up like a half hour before I have to leave to go to work.
That's impressive.
So
I like that.
So
that's
I play mine
in the shower
after everybody leaves. So, or like everyone's asleep, wife's asleep. I can just sit, bang through my sets. And then, you know, with the new baby, if she wakes up, but she's pretty good. She's been sleeping through the night since like 2 months, 3 months.
My baby sleeps at a fourth grade level. I keep doing that. And Brittany's like, stop doing that joke. And I'm like, I will not.
Oh, you won't. Give yourself some space too. Like, it's fine. There's just not enough hours in the day to do everything.
Exactly.
So it feels like forever, but by the time that baby's 3 months, it's going to be sleeping better. You're going to get some feet under you and you don't need as much sleep. So just like, it feels like an eternity when you're in it, but it goes by in a flash.
Yep. And also start brainwashing them from the minute they get out to just love Pokemon so that when they get older,
I saw someone, they were
them Pokemon hunting.
They put the three Gen 1 starters in front of their baby and it crawled and grabbed the Squirtle and like they've chosen. I'm doing that.
I just ordered. She's 6 months now. It's our first daughter. So
that's Gen 5. Crazy. You could do one for each generation.
I have five kids, all boys, and she was the first girl.
Wow.
And
so she's the last.
she's done. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be taken care of.
I'm putting my balls in a blender before I have another baby. Yeah, that's for sure.
There. I'm wearing a chastity belt.
Yeah. I just purchased her a little Togepi jumper thing.
So precious.
I'm so excited.
That's pretty. So you can get one of those.
All right. So
I don't
next
think I'll fit in it. What? Yeah. I mean, but just looks so cute.
We should get adult ones.
He's more ash cheek than man.
Adult Togepi jumpers?
You're saying you don't have one? That's weird. Now, what's really upsetting is one of us is wearing the shiny one, and I cannot remember which is which.
They all look the same.
Yeah.
The shiny one's just a little shorter in the back.
Yeah, you don't want to see two grown men slap each other about the colors of their triangles.
Then don't be watching that.
So anyway, moving on. next
That's on
question.
Our fans only. Just give them. very popular.
It's very off the rails. Nar, shut up.
We're ready to launch that here. We've come to this podcast to launch Pokemon Go Radio Fans Only. I assume you'll be involved, Astro. You'll obviously be on there.
Of course.
You pick a month.
Well, it'll just be, maybe we can get, you know, Ken and Chris and make it a whole big, like, podcast.
That's it, yeah.
Party.
We'll raise money that way. Somehow.
So, next question I got here comes from Reyes. Says, can Niantic push PvP into esport around the influx of small and sometimes big bugs? I feel like that's a very loaded question.
Yeah,
that we could probably do like half an episode on. But
probably
not. Short answer
is no.
If I
have to bet, I'm going to bet against
them. Well, let's assume no bugs. Is the answer even yes then? Because it is incredibly, I mean, people, you know, what is esports, right? Like, what does someone somewhere want to watch it? Do a lot of people want to watch it? Absolutely, right? But can it compete in esports numbers? No, I don't think it ever will.
It's not. Maybe if PvP was a thing around like the first year that it was out, because it had that hype behind it. I just don't feel like it's as mainstream as League of Legends and Fortnite and
no,
those
but also like every developer is fighting for those esports.
That's
eyes.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's not enough to be fun and engaging and have a dedicated community. Every single game that comes out, like every 2K, every Activision, like every publisher is trying to figure out what the next esport is going to be.
What does that get us?
Stupid money.
Right. As purveyors of the game, does it matter? Right. Like, you know, the Super Bowl is X Battle Tower, or, you know, let's get, by the time we get to another Pokemon Go fest, by the time we get to another Go fest, it's going to be hype. There's going to be, I'm surely aware, the Silver's going to have giant screens where they're going to figure all out the technology. We're going to be, hell, maybe they'll get a stadium. I don't know. They'll have 2 years to plan this. I think we'll see some really cool stuff like that. And just because it's not like a quote unquote esport, it'll still be a lot of fun. Now,
I mean, they'll just, it's a lot of people are going to be watching. There's just going to be less Monster Energy symbols.
Yeah. It would be cool though. I think just to have that, like, that level of eyeballs on it. I completely agree with the premise of the question. It'd be badass. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think the way it is right now gives more of the everyday person a chance to be something bigger than what they are. Whereas you start getting into that esports, if you don't have the YouTube channel, you don't have the followers, you know, you don't have something that's going to make people want to watch you, like.
But, or you can't play all day, every day to figure out every optimization. When something goes professional, it naturally becomes more elite. And I don't mean elite as in skill. I mean elite as in the people that can really afford to do it at the maximum level. And there's a reason why pro gamer teams are professionals. It's because they do it every day, all day. These are not hobbyists. You have to compete and practice at that level. And I don't know if I want that for my little fun game that I play while I'm taking a poop.
I don't know what that would even look like, you know, like I can't even imagine.
Oh, could you imagine, like, oh, hello, sir. Hello, Nar. What do you do for a living? Oh, I tap on my phone.
I would say something less embarrassing. Like, I am a birthday clown at children's parties. They're like, oh, okay, that's weird. I'm like, secretly, I'm a professional Pokemon Go PvPer. And they're like,
the first thing was
get away from my children. That's what they'd say to me.
What is,
you're like, I'm going to wreck your children. Get them a phone.
Half-baked?
Take them out.
Something of the custodial arts.
Oh yeah, I'm a purveyor of the custodial arts.
Or if you want to be a dick about it, a janitor.
So
that was my first job as a janitor. I used to say that all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
It's awesome. So next question, and this is followed up by a couple other that tagged onto this, comes from Wildcat Dad, and it says,
"I feel like we're about to get some shade."
Salt and Nar, why are you scared to PvP anymore?
I think if Wildcat, as someone that's lost you, I think several times, you know I'm not afraid to lose. I'm afraid to set calendar reminders. I just straight up forgot that it was the 16th was the registration deadline for the tournament, so that's on me and Salt, because he also forgot. So like, let's pay attention to what matters.
I'm having a baby.
And that Salt forgot. You hadn't had it yet, Salt. Mine's outbound. He's here. And he sometimes doesn't like to go to sleep.
So DeFi kind of piggybacked off this one. And she also wants to know when To put it nicely, are you guys going to get good?
I'm gonna, never. First, I need to get lucky, and then I'm going to get good. I am committed this time for serious next month's self-tournament. I'm going to get in there.
Yeah. I was going to say, you guys have a phone number? Just text us.
Yeah, just harass me. I promise. Shame will motivate.
I don't answer my dad's phone calls. You think I'm going to remember this? I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, but I will do it. I will.
You will? Okay.
I'll throw something
I did ask her if she was a little salty.
Feels like it. She's just trying to look for some easy wins. We know her game.
The normal fairy.
Could be that, too.
The normal fairy joke.
You mean the accurate description?
The accurate description of Lopunny?
That is not accurate.
She said maybe a little.
Bug type.
And I think we got... Okay, we got one more. Last question, and then we wrap up the show.
Already?
I kind of am having fun, though. Got my wind about me. I've got my energy.
There you go. Second wind. Yeah. I'm like four, maybe five.
I was going to edit the YouTube show.
Oh, my God. You've drank five of those?
Yeah.
What is that? Normal?
Oh, okay. So we have a brewery down here, and I was going to... I'll.
Florida is a brewery, after. Sir.
Yeah. Because I'm going to send you a case of salt. We have a brewery called Funky Buddha.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know Funky Buddha.
Okay. So they have...
I used to live in the panhandle. I used to live in the panhandle up by Pensacola.
Okay. So it's actually like 20 minutes from my
house. Do they make hard seltzer now?
Dude.
For those of you who don't see, I'm showing the
That's
can.
Cool.
I'm going to drink
the
all that.
The flavors are phenomenal.
Damn it.
I don't know. I was on this phenomenal. Podcast.
I was out here drinking White Claw like a chump.
They have... So the one... This is my favorite, is cherry limeade.
Oh, yeah.
Do they make any beverages for grown-up people? Do they have any of that? Or is it just...
Yes.
No, you can drink whatever you want, man. That's what this is. I'm going to be drinking this. Have some fun.
God. Summertime. I feel like you drink one of those and get like a toothache.
No.
There's not that much sugar in it.
I'm not... It's not super sweet. It's not sickly sweet. I feel like all the ciders are just... Every time I drink
it's
one,
not
I'm
a
like,
cider.
Oh, I can't,
it's
a I can't seltzer. Do a cider.
Ooh, oh, seltzer. No. Okay, yeah, I can do seltzer. I like a seltzer now.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I had
I drink
what
a
was
seltzer.
It? Someone gave me a Strongbow.
Once. Yeah,
yeah. And you had a sip of it, and you're like, that's pretty good. Then you had a second sip, and you're like, nah,
not good. For me.
Yeah, no. Okay, so back on topic. So this comes from Actual Shuby 66, and they write...
Not
How do
Shuby.
You keep track of all your PvP teams? I'm struggling with only five team slots per GBL league.
Tags. You got unlimited tags. Tag it up.
Yep.
So you can use your tags. I just have like a stable. Like all my Pokemon that are like Ultra League ready, Great League ready. You can get also like Little Cup and stuff like that if you do some weird ones. Then I have like my stable. So I can just go right to that tag, look at it, and be like, this is my selection, right? And then you can check out a mix and match from there.
Yeah, I also, as a general organizing principle, especially in from set to set, if you wanna change, that's fine. But I recommend if you pick a team for your sets that night, try to just keep using the same one unless you're just not letting it work. But if you don't give yourself time to learn how to use it or expect and anticipate and get your timing down, you're never going to maximize that team. You're not really going to know if you've got a good team on your hands.
Yeah.
And sometimes you could pick the perfect team and you just run up against the wrong couple of Pokemon. Don't let that be the thing that switches out, because you could get the moves down, run into a good streak, and all of a sudden you're popping off 10 victories in a row. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe you
don't
got like,
don't let the first two losses on that card be like, oh, I've got to switch everything up now.
Maybe people out there have like crazy reflex and memory, but it takes a long time for me to get familiar with the Pokemon to really get that down about exactly.
Yeah, especially on a slow move, like time a bubble out. If you
haven't done
like it in
you
gotta
a while. Get that guy, because then I'm just sitting there tapping like an idiot while I'm taking a charge move to the face. And so it does take.
Good thing I did two extra bubbles. That's helping.
I got him. Don't worry, y'all. Yeah. I really wish I would have got that ice beam off, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, don't worry. I made up for it with two extra bubbles.
Two extra bubbles. I'm tapping out. Yeah, that level of timing takes a lot of practice for me. So that's why I'm so married to like the team I use, and I don't mix it up that.
That's why I like to use Bite. No timing needed.
Yeah, you just crunch till they're done. Same thing with Charm, honestly. It's just like, don't even worry about it.
Yeah, timing.
Yeah, you guys answered that perfectly. Yeah. You should be trying to stay pretty consistent with the team that you're using. Like what I do is for Great League, I have the team I'm running, and then I have another slot for whatever Sylph Cup I'm in. And that's it. Like, I'll just, and if I think I'm going to switch something and I'm going to forget what I did, I'll just screenshot it and put it in like an album so that I have, you know, whatever. Then I use, cause I don't really raid all that much. And if I do raid, I just use whatever they tell me to use. Cause I don't know. I use the raid parties for like my Sylph teams, anything like that, so that I'm not, you know, cluttering up everything else. And then I don't play Master, so
I do the raids. I do the raid team also, just like when I'm back in the day when I used to do the Sylph tournaments, as I was kind of like, oh, that'd be an interesting one. And I'll just put it in there as I think about it in the lead up. And that's a good way to just kind of keep track of it in game.
Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming on the show. This
was a blast.
This was a lot of fun. Yeah. I was, right before we started recording, I was like, are you going to be long tonight? And I was like, no.
Maybe a little bit quick. What time is it? I'm kind of scared.
2 hours later.
Oh, yeah. Nar, you know.
Oh, my God. It's almost 10 o'clock. I need to go sleep.
Oh, it's almost 11 here.
Gross. Yeah. It's a brisk 9.
I'll be up for New Mexico, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's no time.
I'll be
here
up for like 2 more hours, so I gotta get my GBL sets in before I go to sleep.
That's dedication.
Yeah. No.
Respect.
I have to. Dino gets mad at me.
Yeah, if I don't, I was gonna say, if I don't go talk to my wife pretty soon, she's gonna murder me.
So,
is he getting his sets in on vacation though? You gotta ask that.
I'm pretty sure he's finding a way to do it.
Accountability.
He's dedicated. He's dedicated. I respect that. And we gotta have you guys on when he's here. So that, you know,
he can really give a shit. It's like, the master's here.
Do you guys watch sports? I know you watch college football.
Yeah.
ESPN. There's a radio host from down here, Dan Lovitard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever watched the show, but
all I know is from the commercials, and there's like a weird dude doing those commercials. And I'm kind of like, I think I kind of like this energy.
So
his Dan Lovitard show. That's all it does. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I kind of like this.
So his counterpart is, his name is Stu Gatz, and he's just the comedic relief. That's me. That's like the me and Dino aspect.
And we're out here getting clowned by the comedic relief. So we've really got to start doing some GD homework.
Hey, no, write that down. Apparently the show doesn't need 2 clowns.
Oh no, we have miscast it. Frankly, I blame my mother.
Your show does.
She shouldn't have birthed 2 idiots.
Yeah.
That's on her.
Well, technically, she birthed 4 idiots.
That's true.
She just knocked out 2 at a time.
But how much should we blame on the drugs, though, honestly? You know, it can only be so much her fault.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. Wait, who did these drugs?
You're smoking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I smoke. I get it.
Doesn't.
All right, shut up, Nar.
Yes.
Let him in the show.
All right, so, yes, thank you guys for coming on. Let you guys plug your podcast and anything else you guys are doing.
My interpretive dances.
Plug.
Leaf Storm. If you like Pokemon stuff and shooting the breeze, you can find us. We drop shows every Monday. I've been doing it for like coming on 5 years. Is that possibly right? That's insane. We do that every Monday. They come out like technically actually late Sunday, but you know, Monday morning.
In time for Unbreakable to make dinner. That is the actual
Goal. That's the goal, but usually by Monday morning. And, they're usually about an hour and a half of just news, kind of everything going on in the community and that good stuff. And it's us two. And then we have a lot of guests on, a lot of fun people, some people you know. Hopefully Astro, you'll come on at some point and be on the show. We'd love to have you talk some non-nonsense about PvP and give people the good business. So you can find that just anywhere you find podcasts, Spotify. We're up on YouTube as well. We put these shows up so people can comment like, taller, not as tall as I would have thought. That's the number one comment.
So I was going to say that as soon as I thought you were taller.
That comes up a lot in
you're
my
like,
real
I
life.
I thought you'd be taller.
Like 5'9".
It's fine. That's average height,
It's the definition of average. Leave me alone.
It's fine. So that's up on there. So.
Nice. All right. So I guess that's it. So I'm going to go ahead and thank our Patreons at our supporter tier, Mr. Batfleck, and new member, JD Mojo Jojo, which I love that name.
That's a good name.
It's a mouthful, but
Mojo Jojo.
Yeah.
It's good.
Our producers, Kingflip, Papa Rec, our Discord admin, Wildcat Dad. You can follow us on Twitter at BTWPVPPodcast. You can email us at btwpvp@gmail.com. We've got our Patreon store and then our merch store that's up too. Other than that, you know, thank you guys for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm AstroZombie954.
I'm Salt.
I'm Gnar.
And until next time,
Good luck and get good.
I wrote it down.
I almost said good luck and get good. See, you mocked me for writing it down. You said,
Shut up, Gnar.
Why do you need to write it down?
Now you know.
That's perfect.
It's on brand. That's the answer.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.